those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Cyber Minds.
How the heck are you? What day is today? It's Sunday once again.
It is.
Every single time we show up, it's Sunday. I don't understand it. Today is the August 9th, 2015. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio once again, and gosh, we're talking all things sovereign. And then some. Hold on, we just got here, so I'm just catching my breath. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors, all you listeners out there in Shasta County in the North State. I think we have a couple of guests on today. We got Tim Donnelly and Robert. Is it Robert Kessler?
Ronald
Kessler. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ronald.
I haven't had time to look up anything or do anything here. We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com, or you can call in to 530-605-4567. That's again 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. And let's see, Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. At 2570 South Bonneview, Destiny Fellowship. I believe we are having Tim Pappas again, or who?
Yes, we are. Yeah. We're doing Constitution classes and learning about the Constitution, that terrible document that
everything you wanted to know about the Constitution and forgot to take a look.
Yeah. All the things they don't teach in school.
We don't anymore.
Well, I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And we've got Red Smith with us. Ta-da.
Good morning.
Very good. And we have Bob Martin, our super guy, producer, soundboard board operator, and all-around great guy. I can't say it very good.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda. Good morning again, Red.
Good morning.
Trying to talk too fast. We also have Mr. Frank Rose in here delivering donuts as usual. What a guy.
Yeah.
Donut guy.
Mr. Donut.
You got to love Mr. Rose on many aspects.
Without the holes.
What would we do without you, sir?
Absolutely. So.
And Ronald Kessler is on the line.
Oh, we have Ronald Kessler on the line. Does anybody know how long we have him for?
Yeah, I think we have him to 10 o'clock, but I'm not positive on that one.
Okay, very good. Well, I don't have a bio up on him yet, so maybe somebody else does. Have you got a bio up on him?
I do. He's an award-winning investigative reporter, and he broke the story that the Secret Service agents who were to protect President Obama hired prostitutes in Colombia. That is one of the things that he does. He's a very good investigative reporter. He's done the Clintons. He's done various ones. Maybe he should tell us more about himself.
Well, I got his bio up now, so I can talk. We got Ronald Kessler, New York Times bestselling author. The author of books about the Secret Service, FBI, and CIA.
He's been in the trenches quite a while up there.
His latest book is The First Family Detail. And, wow, so it sounds like he has some stories to tell us. Are you there, Ronald?
Yeah, good to be with you.
Good morning. Good morning. Maybe we kind of did a little bit of background. Maybe you got a little more you could tell us and tell us how you got to the point where you are in your writing today.
Well, people ask me how I got those Secret Service agents to talk about what they see behind the scenes. Usually I waterboard them. That works pretty well. But I think I tell an honest story. I think that's one reason that agents trust me. One of my books on the FBI led to the dismissal of William Sessions over his abuses. On the other hand, when the FBI does good, as they have been since 9/11, keeping us safe, I say that, and that's unusual in today's journalistic world. So I think that's one reason that I've been able to reveal these secrets in the first family detail.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a wonder you can say anything good about almost any government agency at all these days. You got to really look, I think, because I'll tell you what, it's getting pretty ugly up there.
That's right. You know, you look at the IRS scandal, and in the case of the Secret Service, I go into the corner cutting, the laxness, the negligence that really threatens the life of the president. And an assassination nullifies democracy. That's how important the Secret Service is. And I'm afraid President Obama has just guaranteed that these lapses are going to continue by appointing as the new Secret Service director Joseph Clancy, who's a veteran agent and is part of that same culture that has led to these problems. It's a management culture. It's not the agents, by and large, who are brave and dedicated. They'll take a bullet for the president, but rather a management culture that condones laxness and covering up. For example, when Clancy was asked in a hearing when he was acting director about the fact that when Gonzalez, the intruder last fall at the White House, penetrated the White House and was armed with a knife, that the Secret Service lied about that and issued statements saying that he was stopped at the door and that he was not armed. And Clancy was asked, is anybody going to be held accountable for that? And he said, well, that was just an error. That wasn't any purposeful lie. And then he was asked, how do you know that? And he said, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. So here's a guy who's covering up and right in a congressional hearing, and yet Obama appoints him to lead the agency. I think, you know, President Obama, many people say, well, he's naive. That's why he's going along with this Iran deal. I think it's worse than that. I think he really is like a teenager, as we all once were, who just doesn't get danger and doesn't get risk, because here we are with his own life at stake and the lives of his own family members if this Secret Service corner cutting continues, and yet he still blindly ignored all advice to appoint an outside director who would shake things up, who would not be part of the culture, and instead, you know, as I say, guaranteed that the scandals are going to continue.
I think that you've got a real culture of corruption up there, and I think it's even more than that with him, myself. I mean, some of these things are too stupid to be stupid. I mean, you can't make this many mistakes in a row. I get your point, though, about, you know, would you put your own, you know, family and yourself at risk, but I think there's some hubris going on here that's to the extent of, to the, you know, point of ridiculous as well. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my take on it, but, yeah.
I mean, look at the fact that the Secret Service did not even lock the front door of the White House when the alarms...
The party, yeah.
The alarms were turned off because the usher didn't like them. You know, it's just...
Well, I was thinking of the party. Remember the party where they let people in that weren't even on the guest list?
There you go.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think goes back to a feeling among agents and uniformed officers that they're not going to be supported by management if they do turn away someone like that, and it turns out it was a mistake, they were supposed to be on the guest list, because the management over and over again buckles to pressure, and so the agents on the ground just don't feel that they can enforce the rules.
Well, do you think that, like I say again, it sounds to me that they just think they're untouchable at this point. I mean, there's so much power circulating around them that they just think that, hey, you know, I mean, what could go wrong? I mean, it is juvenile, but that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and speaking of arrogance, the book reveals that Hillary Clinton is so nasty to her agents that being assigned to her detail is considered a form of punishment. Here's this woman who claims she's going to help the middle class, she's going to be the champion of the little people, that she's compassionate. And the truth is, behind the scenes, she treats those same so-called little people who are less powerful than she is with contempt. And that tells you a lot about her character. It's something that indicates arrogance, which would only get worse if she were in the White House, because, you know, there's so much adulation toward the president. They typically do become more arrogant.
So it sounds
we need to look at character when we elect presidents, character and track record as opposed to popularity.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, what you just said sounds like Leona Helmsley back there, that only the little people pay taxes. And, you know, in light of the new emails that are coming out on Hillary, you know, I mean, we've got finally, it looks like, a criminal investigation possibly starting. And, you know, but it's been absolutely off the charts what this gal has been getting away with, her and Mr. Bill, for so long that, I mean, I don't think anybody doesn't see it anymore. And even the Republican, I mean, I'm sorry, even the Democrats are starting to back away from her, I think, because I don't think this investigation is going to do much good for her.
No, you know, and there was this back and forth about the semantics of whether it's a criminal investigation. The FBI does not do anything unless it's a criminal investigation. Now, you know, right now it's preliminary. They'll see how much is there, but that is the basis for their investigation, absolutely.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think people are really getting tired of the media. You're starting to see it in the stock market and the polls and everything, because, you know, they're picking and choosing the stories that they want to run. They completely black this kind of stuff out, black out the Planned Parenthood stuff, and then run the crap out of Cecil the Lion. I mean, it's just unconscionable. I'm not sure who's worse at this point, the media being complicit or the actual corruption in these high places.
Yeah, there's no question. There's a lot of media bias, but it's interesting that Fox News is being attacked by conservatives, and so that's going to just boost their ratings because it shows the general public that it really is fair and balanced, you know, and the fact that they were asked tough questions of Donald Trump and others just shows that they, you know, they're doing their job and they should be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust Fox News any more than I do. Well, I got to say, I do trust them more than I do MSNBC. But I still think they black out stuff just like the rest of the media. They, you know, they don't cover some stories that should be covered. And they do cover, you know, a lot of stories that the other ones won't cover. But they never, ever talk about the Federal Reserve and the problems in that and the money supplies. And, you know, they skirt away from some of the bigger issues. So I have a problem with that. But at least they're reporting on some of the things that the other ones won't report.
Yeah. You know, I have a particular view of Donald Trump because, you know, I thought his comment about Megyn Kelly was silly, but at the same time, I've known him for some 20 years. I did a book about Palm Beach called The Season, and I flew down with him on his Boeing 727-100 with my wife, Pam, I've learned a whole bunch about him. I interviewed Norma Forderer, who was his top aide for 28 years, and knew him better on both the business side and the social side than anybody. And she said there are two Donald Trumps. One is the outrageous one who makes provocative comments to get attention to his brand and, of course, now his campaign.
Sure.
And the other one is the real Donald Trump, who is a very savvy, competent businessman. He's not a wild man. He treats his employees with respect, unlike Hillary. When his butler, Tony Senecal, had a heart attack, he visited him in the hospital and insisted that he stay at Mar-a-Lago, which is his incredible paradise of a home and club in Palm Beach. When he was flying down on the plane, he was talking about the fact that Mar-a-Lago accepts blacks and Jews, whereas several Palm Beach clubs to this day do not accept blacks and Jews. And he imitated the Blue Bloods, you know, making fun of his and condemning his club because it does not discriminate. So that's the Donald that I happen to know.
So it sounds like, you know, he's not a bad guy. I get the whole brand thing, because sometimes you just got to be bombastic to get things out there that, you know, that people, you need to have them pay attention to for whatever reason. But I always ask people this question, you know, in the last week or two, is if you had a choice between Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, and Donald Trump, who would you vote for? If that was the ticket, who would you vote for?
Well, I'd rather pass on that.
that seems to be one of the answers we get a lot of on that one.
Well, for me, if I have no choice, it's got to be Donald Trump at that point, because there's no way I'm voting for Jeb Bush, and there's no way I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. So I'm not even, you know, advocating a third party or anything. I'm just saying, you know, if those were the choices and that was the ticket, I think that Trump would probably win.
Yeah, I like to, you know, not only shed light on subjects I write about, but actually report new material, and that's what I've done with Donald, for example, and with my new book, The First Family Detail. Besides Hillary treating her agents, you know, with contempt, I go into the fact that Joe Biden, when he goes back to Wilmington, his home, which he does several times a week, and by the way, all at our expense, $1 million in Air Force Two costs since he took office, he insists that the military aide who has the nuclear football, which has the codes to unleash a nuclear counterstrike if we were attacked, stay at least a mile behind his motorcade in Wilmington. And the reason is he wants to have the image of regular Joe, the common man, so he doesn't want to have a long motorcade. But the result is, if we were attacked and Obama were taken out, we would be totally obliterated because there'd be no time for the military aid to catch up with Biden. Unbelievably irresponsible behavior. And speaking of press bias, nobody in the press has picked this up.
Wow.
That's kind of scary.
That's scary.
And it's, yeah.
Can we survive another year of this guy? I mean, is the real question.
And in addition to that, Biden likes to skinny dip at his pool at the vice president's residence in Washington and also at his home in Wilmington, and that offends female Secret Service agents. You know, they signed up to take a bullet for the president, but not to see Joe Biden naked.
That's a terrible picture. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'd rather take the bullet.
Whoa, that picture is not good.
A war on women, you know?
And they're talking about setting him up to run. I just don't see it. Biden even having a prayer. He's such a. I mean, he should be. His nickname should be the Gaffer. You know. I mean, it's like crazy. I mean, but I mean, who does stuff like that except arrogant, hubris, you know, corrupted people who don't give a crap about what anybody else thinks.
That's right, and he is also very thoughtless with agents, even though they do like him because he does schmooze with them, unlike Hillary. But he'll, on the spur of the moment, say, excuse me, I'm going back to Wilmington. He'll never give them advance notice, so they can never plan their lives. I mean, totally, totally thoughtless. And again, you know, like a good Democrat claims to be compassionate, to care about little people, but he treats those same people in the most thoughtless manner you can imagine.
Well, the Clintons were notoriously hard on the Secret Service and staff during the presidency of Bill Clinton, too, weren't they?
Yeah. Hillary especially would actually tell them, and still does, tell agents she doesn't want to see them, that they're supposed to literally hide behind curtains or go into other offices so she doesn't have to see them or talk to them. I mean, it's really pathological. She also doesn't like police or military around. And Bill, meanwhile, has a mistress, a busty blonde, who has been unofficially codenamed Energizer by agents. And that's because the first letter of the codenames for each family, each first family, begin with the same letter. So in the case of the Clintons, Bill is Eagle, Hillary is Evergreen, and then the mistress became Energizer. And unlike Hillary, she's very nice to the agents. One hot summer day, she came in to offer some cookies to the agents at the gate. She was wearing a tank top. She leaned forward in the SUV to offer the cookies to the window, and the agent noticed that her breasts are enhanced. So we have every single detail in this book, The First Family Detail.
I'm not sure what she was actually offering besides the cookies, but, you know, I guess we'll... past
well,
that.
Well, at least she's nice to the agents.
If I was Hillary Clinton, in her defense, the police would make me nervous, too.
I was just going to say that. I mean, you're thinking the exact same thing. I would be thinking, I really don't want the police or anybody that could investigate me around. And you know, but the real thing I took from that is that the servants are the Secret Service should be the Secret Servants.
Yeah, exactly. And the military, for that matter, with what you're saying, Mr. Kessler, that the military, too, in that instance.
The military what?
With Hillary, that they're servants to her.
Well, in terms of whether they talk about what they see?
Well, just in the detail.
Just in her treatment of them,
yeah.
You know, like very dismissive and, you know, don't be seen and, you know, you're kind of by your lead.
Yeah, get behind the curtain. I don't want to look at you.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally the opposite of the image that she wants to create. Of course, their marriage is a charade, so almost everything about Hillary is fake. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's almost as if people don't have any self-esteem that we have to put up with this with a candidate for president of the United States. And if we ignore these character traits, we'll suffer the consequences. Look at the fact that Richard Nixon became involved in the Checkers episode, which was an ethics issue before he was elected, and sure enough, we got Watergate. You know, in the rest of our lives, we look at character, we look at track record. We would never hire someone like Hillary, who treats other people with nastiness. And yet, again, when it comes to the presidency, it's just a popularity contest.
Yeah, and right now she's portraying that, you know, she's a good old, like, grandmother, you know, I'm like
she's
all the other...
Yeah,
that she's one of us, and she cares about the children and everything else, and
yeah.
Totally the opposite.
I have a question, okay, and it's, you know, you see these things all over the internet, you know, that Hillary's a lesbian and Michelle Obama is a tranny. Is there any truth to those that you can verify?
No. Hillary is not is not a lesbian, according to agents. And Michelle is you know, they have a devoted marriage. She and Obama do treat their agents with respect. This is a nonpartisan book, which I think adds to the credibility. But agents have been dismayed to overhear Michelle urge her husband to be more aggressive in attacking Republicans and in siding with blacks in racial controversies, which, of course, we see him do all the time. Going back to the comment about the Cambridge police officer and then the Trayvon Martin situation and on, usually coming out on the wrong side of these controversies, but legitimizing the idea that, you know, the police are all devils trying to kill innocent blacks.
Yeah, they all act stupidly, and you know, that was from, you know, almost day one, but that you know, that being said, then is he really just the amateur? I don't remember who wrote the book. I read it off
Ed Klein.
Yeah, I mean, is that really the case? He is just an amateur. He's just like a big kid up there playing war games, like Matthew Broderick in War Games.
Well, I think when it comes to danger, excuse me, that is the problem. Yeah, he you know, look at Governor Corzine, the Democratic governor in New Jersey, was going 90 miles an hour with no seatbelt. Almost lost his life in an accident. I think of Obama the same way. Just doesn't get at risk. But in terms of his outlook and you know, policies, I go back to the fact that he listened to Reverend Wright for 20 years. My most liberal friends, the most liberal family members, say they would have walked out in a second if they heard that anti-white, anti-America screed. And yet he not only listened for 20 years with Michelle, but had Reverend Wright marry him. That's, you know, anybody who would listen to that for 20 years obviously comes from that side. I don't think he is as radical as Reverend Wright, but he certainly leans in that direction.
Well, I think he leans in a pretty hardcore Muslim Islamic direction, and you know the evidence is overwhelming. He treats Christians like crap, even though he says he's a Christian, and doesn't do anything for them, and that he's constantly uplifting the attributes and the virtues of Islam. So, I mean, I this guy lies about everything. I mean, and those are, you know, I don't know about this one, but there's so many provable lies. To think that he wouldn't be lying about that, in my opinion, is almost naive. What's your take?
I think it's more his anti-America attitude. So anybody who's against America, he will tend to favor, or he'll feel that we're arrogant, as he put it, and so he'll side in that direction. But I, you know, having done books on the FBI, interviewed top people at the FBI, I'm very impressed by the need to keep Muslims who are moderate on our side and not demonize the whole religion, but rather to focus on the element that is radical. That's where I come out on that.
And with that, we're going to have to go to a break and thank some of our sponsors. But before I do, I want to get a plug in for Missing in America Project. Get down to Jersey Mike's today and tomorrow and help support us to go to Arlington. And with that, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
They call me the mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
For the past 17 years, the Chef de Land Trust has served our community by conserving the beauty, character, and diversity of significant lands in far Northern California. Working with landowners, partners, and supporters, the Land Trust conserves places that protect water quality and provide wildlife habitat and recreation. This summer, the Land Trust celebrates the acquisition of the Great Shasta Rail Trail, a scenic 80-mile trail that supports local heritage and culture and boosts the economic and social vitality of local communities. The Shasta Land Trust, preserving places people love for future generations to enjoy.
This summer, we can all save energy and money together. Your Redding Electric Utility would like to remind you that you may qualify for one of the many rebates available for upgrading your appliances, adding insulation and window screens, or making other energy-saving improvements to your home or business. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you may earn a credit on your electricity bill. Save energy, save money. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Redding is powerful together.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show on Friday, August 14th at 7:30 a.m. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Mr. Nugent, and he says Cecil is the other white meat.
Gotta love him. Good old Uncle Ted.
Yeah, I gotta say that. Anyway, let's see, where are we? We are with Ronald Kessler, and we're talking about the White House, the staff, the Secret Service, and his new book.
The cover-ups that they do, and...
Yeah, I mean, and he's got his new book out, and it's The First Family Detail, and it's, I believe you can get it, it's a New York Times best, no, you are a New York Times best-selling author. I'm not sure we're out on the list yet, but this just came out. How long has the book been out, Ron?
Actually, the book came out a year ago, was on the Times list for something like 11 weeks, and now it's out in paperback as of 2 weeks ago, with an epilogue on all the various scandals and within the Secret Service. It goes into how they do their protection, and the most bizarre story in the book is when George H.W. Bush was campaigning for re-election, he went out to Enid, Oklahoma to give a speech, and the Secret Service did their usual advance work by checking with local law enforcement, asking if there were any threats out there. And local law enforcement said, you know, there's this psychic in town who's been incredibly reliable in the past and has actually led us to the bodies of murder victims. And she said that she had a vision that when Bush comes to town, he's going to be assassinated by a sniper at an overpass. Well, the agents were embarrassed to take this seriously, but nevertheless, they did go and interview her, and they said, do you know anything more about it? She said, yeah, I know the presidential limousines are out at the Air Force Base outside of town. They said, can you show us? So they went out there. There were five hangars. She pointed to one hangar, and sure enough, that's where the limousines were. And this is on the record from the agents involved. And then she said that when Bush comes out of Air Force One the next morning, he's going to be wearing a sport jacket and a sport shirt. And they thought that's absurd. You know, he always wears a suit. So they didn't take it too seriously. But then the next morning, sure enough, he came out wearing that clothing. So a shiver went down their spines. They changed the motorcade route so it would not go under any overpass. And sure enough, of course, he was safe. And he's learning about it for the first time in this book.
Wow. You know, it just makes me think, we're talking about this. I was watching, on Netflix last night, I watched, JFK, the Smoking Gun. And it talks about the guy in the motorcade actually accidentally shooting Kennedy.
Yeah.
Do you know have you heard of that? Is that something you subscribe to?
Yeah, I've gone into the assassination in great detail, and I'm just convinced that, believe it or not, the Warren Commission was right. It was based on the FBI investigation. It was Lee Harvey Oswald. He was the only shooter. This is typical of assassins. They're you know, loners. They're half crazy. They want to get attention, and that's what he was all about. But ironically and tragically, the reason that JFK lost his life is that Secret Service agents wanted to ride on the rear running board of his limousine in Dallas, and he objected. He said, it doesn't look good, too much security. You know, this is a common feeling of politicians in general. And if they had been on the rear running board, they would have jumped on him after the first shot was fired. The first shot was not fatal. They would have jumped on him, pushed him to the floor, and saved his life, because they would have gotten him out of the way of the second shot, which was fatal. So much like Barack Obama, who doesn't seem to get danger, JFK lost his life over his own decision.
Wow.
I have a question. How much security does President Obama really have, comparatively speaking, to other presidents? I mean, I would assume that his detail is a lot more. Am I right in that?
Well, no. I think that there should be more, but there isn't. There was a big spike in threats after he was elected, about a 400% increase. But then it went down, so now it's about the same as with George W. Bush, which is about 10 threats a day. Of course, a real assassin is not going to make a threat beforehand anyway. But no, there's so much corner cutting, and there's they don't have enough agents. There's a high turnover, morale is low. You saw how vulnerable he was when Gonzalez penetrated the White House, and then again when this armed security guard who had arrest records was allowed to ride in the elevator with him. I mean, these are just unbelievable breaches, as well as what you mentioned before, the glamorous couple of Salahis prancing into the White House state dinner, even though they were not on the guest list. At that point, Obama should have taken action, should have replaced the Secret Service director. You know, it was one anecdote that tells you more about that, and that is that when Mary Cheney, one of Dick Cheney's daughters, was under protection, she tried to get her agents to take her friends to restaurants. Well, they're not taxi drivers. They're law enforcement officers who were paid to protect certain people under the law, and they refused, as they should have. But she threw a fit over this and got her detail leader removed over the fact that he followed the rules. And so what message does that send to those uniformed officers at the White House gate when the Salahis come prancing in? It tells them, hey, if we turn them away, and it turns out they were supposed to be on the guest list, we could be in trouble with our own management. That's what I meant about management not supporting the agents and the uniformed officers.
Well, it puts them in a no-win situation. They're damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't.
So you have political expedience definitely superseding security concerns.
That's it. And speaking of political expediency, as I mentioned, this is a nonpartisan book, and it says that the reason that Ronald Reagan almost lost his life is that his own White House staff overruled the Secret Service to let spectators who were not screened within 15 feet of Reagan as he came out of the Washington Hilton, and that's why Hinckley was able to shoot him. And then the Secret Service covered up what happened. They never should have caved that pressure, and so it's coming out for the first time in this book, The First Family Detail.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on there. I'll tell
is.
You what, it's hard to wrap your mind around some of it. I mean, you know, you've got this ideologically hell-bent on almost destroying United States, you know, because, you know, we're, you know, the rest of the world just thinks that we're, overbearing and so forth, and there might be some truth to that. I mean, you look at some of the bombs that we've been dropping, and you know, on in the Middle East, and it's been proven that you know the that it's creating more enemies than it's actually killing. Because if we kill 10,000 of them and they kill so many civilians, more people run into the fight. So, you know, it just seems like this president is hell bent on destroying the United States, in my opinion, than he is preserving it.
Well, remember that 9/11 happened before we went into Iraq, before we had invaded Afghanistan, of course. So I don't buy the idea that taking out ISIS, for example, would create more enemies. You know, these people they're like serial killers. You know, they just love killing people, and if they don't have one excuse, they'll have another excuse. Obama says Guantanamo is, you know, a rallying cry. Well, if it's not Guantanamo, it's some other issue. That basically, they hate America and they want to kill non-Muslims and Muslims. Actually, they kill more Muslims than non-Muslims. We could take out ISIS within a matter of a month or two, and Obama is simply doing a trickle effort, which is not going to help at all.
Well, that's kind of my point here, because it, instead of getting the job done, you know, we get the rules of engagement, you have all these things, you know, and if you are having collateral damage on an ineffective bombing program, you know, why wouldn't we change strategies or do something different? I mean, like I say, this guy makes so many dumb mistakes, it's hard to think it's dumb anymore, in my opinion.
You know, if you look at almost every one of his initiatives, it has had the opposite effect, and of course, that applies to the economy. He thinks he's doing good by having more regulation, and over again, you see CEOs of companies on TV saying, "We're not hiring because we're afraid there's going to be more regulation." Not to mention being demonized by Obama. I think if a Republican were elected, there would be an immediate psychological impact among businesses, feeling that now they can expand, now they can hire more workers because they're not going to be demonized.
Well, I think we're in for a big market crash here. It doesn't, at this point anyway, there's no way to stop it with the overspending and everything else. And the administration's lies that have been coming out of recovery and the unemployment rate, and they've skewed almost all the figures on jobs created and everything else. I don't think at this point that we can stop having a day of reckoning that's coming. And so, you know, yeah, we need to get him out of there, but we better get a conservative in there, not just a Republican, in my opinion.
You know, I have this theory that if you eliminated one in two federal employees, you would not lose any output whatsoever. And I've tried this on friends who are in the government or were in the government, and every single one of them agrees. And the reason is, in the government, you just are in slow motion. So if you could find something, a fact on the internet, instead you'll form a committee. And if you could, instead of making a phone call, you'll have a meeting. That's just the way they operate. And really, if you got rid of one and two, it would not harm output whatsoever.
So what you're saying is in your observation, it's not so much a tailored agenda of fundamental transformation, but more of not only being inept, but he's insulated to the reality of what his policies are doing, and in a way his administration is just kind of believing their own press.
Yeah, you know, I think he honestly thinks he's doing good. He is, you know, a decent guy when it comes to his family, how he treats his agents, but he has this chip on his shoulder and this ideological bent, which you can see from the fact that he listened to Reverend Wright for 20 years, and that's you know, typical of the far left, and so it's not that he's trying to destroy the country. It's that he thinks he's doing good, and the truth is the opposite.
Yeah, he just said in a press conference last week that, yeah, he thinks he's a pretty good president. I don't know what measure, but listen, we got to go to a break, and when we come back, maybe you can tell us a little bit more of some of the stuff in the book you'd like to get out there and in the audience, the listening audience, so that they want to buy the book and, tell us, the things that we haven't talked about.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment for our guest, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Community Radio for the North State.
Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Call me up,
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Beat the heat in the coolest place in town, Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play with us this summer and enjoy air-conditioned indoor fun. Cool off with art at Make and Take Tuesdays. Play along in our passport raffle at Aquatic Adventures and avoid a brain freeze in Mindbender Mansion. Learn all about Turtle Bay's resident animals at Walk on the Wild Side. When temperatures soar, come chill with us. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hey, Bob, let's go to lunch today at the Classic Cafe.
I've known Millie and Kathy for a lot of years. They serve some great food down at Classic Cafe.
Home cooking, great prices, and you get a hug when you walk in there from Millie and Kathy.
And you can just spend hours checking out the walls with those historical military displays.
That's right, Classic Cafe, 2427 Athens in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. A great place to eat, a great place to see what's going on.
And a great place to get a hug.
It's Molly Kidd, and I'm taking over the radio this summer during On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not in the North State. Wine, food, music, and fashion. It's every Thursday night from 6 to 7. Listen in and find out where you need to be this summer. It's On the Spot, but with Molly Kidd. Special thanks to Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield Repair.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I just want to be able to sing that note. It's just going to be, but I can't do it. All right.
No, that's okay. We can live without you hitting that note or trying to
hit
that note.
I just want to hit that note at once, you know. It's just going to be, but, you know, sorry.
I just want it to be all right.
Okay,
you know?
I got a total unison roll, eyeballs rolling back in their heads here in the studio, okay? So, okay, that's all right. I get it.
Yeah.
No problem. I see it.
At least we're truthful, right? Yeah. We're just truthful. That's all we want is the truth.
Okay, that's okay.
All right, I'm just saying.
Shut you, yep. Anyway, we're here with Ronald Kessler, and we are talking about his book and all the new details of the first family that are in there. And it was an instant New York Times bestseller, and now it's out in paperback. And you got about 6 or 7 minutes, Ronald, and tell us the stuff that we haven't covered and things you need to get out there.
Sure. Well, Jimmy Carter was just as nasty to his agents as Hillary Clinton. And again, here is this guy who claimed to be a populist, a jolly peanut farmer, smiling all the time, cares about little people. And the truth was that he would tell his agents that he didn't want them to say hello to him in the morning on the way to the Oval Office. It was apparently just too much bother to say hello back. Carter would also pretend to carry his own luggage in front of the cameras, but it was actually empty, or he would give it to aides to carry. He would sometimes come into the Oval Office at 5 in the morning and tell the press office to tell the press that he was in there working hard for the American people, but then agents saw that he would fall asleep on the sofa. So another hypocrite. In contrast, Ronald Reagan was just as genuine as he appeared to be on TV. He would schmooze with the agents. Sometimes Nancy would actually get a little perturbed that he spent so much time talking to the agents. One time he was about to get into the elevator at the residence, and an aide came up and told him that Gary Hart, who was running for president, was going to be exposed the next morning for having an affair with Donna Rice. And Reagan said, well, boys will be boys. And then he went up in the elevator with an agent, and he said to the agent, but boys will not be president. Mm. Reagan also came out of his Los Angeles residence one time with a revolver, and an agent said, what's that for? And he said, just in case you guys need some help. He also brought a weapon to meet with Gorbachev in his own briefcase.
I love
he
it.
Told the agent.
I love it. I mean, that's Ronald Reagan at his best. You know, just in case you guys need some help, that's great.
One, you know, he and Nancy, like all of us with our inner marriages, had little fights every now and then. And one time they were at the ranch, and Reagan had this routine where he would saddle up, and then he would ring a bell for Nancy to come out to go horseback riding. Nancy wasn't that big on horseback riding. She liked to just talk to her friends in Beverly Hills. And he was ringing this bell for her to come out. She wasn't coming out. And then Secret Service noticed that their phone line had gone dead. And it turned out that Reagan went in to find her, and she was on the phone with her friends in Beverly Hills, and he took the phone and smashed it on the floor. So that's why it was not working.
Oh, wow. Hey, listen, can you comment a little bit on the Cartagena deal with the Secret Service prostitute thing? Is that
sure.
just because of the corruption, or what's up with that? Did anybody get fired?
Yeah, they almost they all either got fired or had to retire early. I broke that story, and obviously these guys were jerks. They left themselves open for possible blackmail by terrorists or by a foreign intelligence service. But on the other hand, I think they also thought, hey, management cuts corners, and why shouldn't we do whatever we want to do? And as an example of the cutting of corners, which hasn't been picked up by the press yet, on a regular basis, when pressured by campaign staffs or White House staffs, the top management will tell agents to let people into events without magnetometer or metal detection screening. It happens when an event's about to start, the Secret Service hasn't provided enough magnetometers, so there's pressure to just let them in, and sure enough, the agents let them in. It's just like letting passengers into an airplane without metal detection.
What could go wrong?
Well, yeah, that alone could lead to an assassination.
Yeah, I mean,
well, they're next on the line.
And the incident that occurred in Cartagena, was this kind of a one-time faux pas by the Secret Service, or is this something that has occurred before on a regular basis?
No, it really is unusual. And in fact, I mean, first of all, the agents are brave and dedicated. They'll take a bullet for the president. On top of that, they rarely have time for anything. They're so overworked. They're forced to work long overtime hours because the agency is so poorly managed. They don't have enough agents. They don't do the right. They don't even tell agents what their shifts will be until the Friday before the upcoming week. So again, they can't plan their lives. I mean, it's just a terrible, terrible pressure that they feel all the time, that's unnecessary. And you know, they're tired. You know, the pilots are given rigid rules about how long they can fly, and yet these agents are armed and they're frequently will work 18 hours a day when they're overseas. You can't imagine just how poorly managed this agency is. Similar to the VA, you know, if you want to make a comparison.
Well, it's any government agency, yeah. It seems like. Listen, Mr. Kessler, we're going to have to cut you off here because they're going to cut us off at the top of the hour for the news and so forth. So we want to thank you for coming on.
Thanks for coming on. And
sure, my pleasure.
We enjoyed having you, and maybe back in the future if we can do that.
And if somebody wants to buy the book, what's the best place to go to get it?
Any book outlet, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, very good. And they could also go to your website at ronaldkessler.com and see your story there.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you again, sir, for being on with us. This is KPNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Sovereign Minds on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Donald Trump on Sunday professed his admiration for women and said he would be their best advocate if elected president, dismissing the firestorm of his own making that has consumed the Republican presidential campaign. Trump says past comments, such as describing women in business as, quote, real killers, are made out of respect.
I've had such an amazing relationship with women in business. They are amazing executives. They are killers. Now, when I say that about a man, it's very sad. If you say that about a man, it's considered a great honor.
Trump made his comments on ABC's This Week program. Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill tells NBC's Meet the Press that Trump is not a serious candidate.
I think Donald Trump is bluff and bluster, and I don't think the things he says are rooted in anything other than a demand for attention.
GOP presidential hopeful Jeb Bush says Trump's bombast would hurt the Republicans' chances with women who already tilt toward Democrats in presidential elections. Also on SRNnews.com, 5 children and 3 adults have been found slain inside a Houston-area home. Harris County Sheriff's Deputy Thomas Gilliland says authorities responded to a call for a welfare check but couldn't get anyone to open the door.
Some more information was obtained that a male was in the home that had a warrant for an aggravated assault on a family member. At that time, the sergeant on scene decided to call for an HROU, which is a high-risk operations unit.
Authorities say a man who exchanged gunfire with police at the home last night has been arrested. The U.S. Forest Service says one of its firefighters has died while battling a wildfire in the Lake Tahoe area. The agency says he was struck by a tree yesterday while working in a remote area between the Lake Tahoe Basin Management Unit and El Dorado National Forest. This is SRN News.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free plus free shipping. Call 800-280-9595. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-280-9595. 800-280-9595. That's 800-280-9595.
A powerful typhoon has brought chaos to parts of southeastern Asia, with thousands evacuated and millions of homes in China left without power.
Details are starting to emerge of the sheer force of this typhoon. In one coastal area, more than half a meter of rain fell in 24 hours, the heaviest for a century. There's been widespread flooding, causing some landslides. Winds were so strong that in one provincial capital, more than 10,000 trees were blown down. The Chinese authorities evacuated tens of thousands of people in advance, and there seem surprisingly few casualties. But there's a big task ahead. Blocked roads and meters of floodwater all need clearing. Power and water systems and homes need repair.
BBC correspondent Jill McGivering reporting. Biologists say a mysterious fungus is threatening to wipe out some isolated populations of rare rattlesnakes in Vermont and elsewhere. This is SRN News. A child custody dispute leads to four deaths in Vermont.
Officials say the woman charged in the slayings of a Vermont social worker is also the alleged perpetrator in the deaths of three of her relatives whose bodies were found Saturday morning. The three women found dead at a Berlin home were an aunt and two cousins of 40-year-old Jody Herring. Laura Sobel was gunned down after work Friday outside a state office building and bar. She handled a case for the State Department for Children and Families in which Herring lost custody of her 9-year-old daughter. Rhonda Rockstra, SRN News.
A woman is recovering after being attacked by an alligator that bit off her arm while she swam in a river in central Florida. The unidentified victim was swimming in Wekiva River on Saturday with a group. Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission spokeswoman Karen Parker said the victim left to swim somewhere more secluded and was attacked. The gator bit off her arm just above the elbow. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Jeremy House.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
No. Shall we roll our eyes now, Robert, together? Yeah.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
Can't do it.
Stop trying.
It's my job.
You know, you have to do perfect breakfast to be perfect, not just practice.
I can do that.
Can someone explain to me what five white dudes in cardigan sweaters is doing singing about the jungle and the lion in the first place?
What I want to know is why does somebody pay $50,000 to poach one?
Well, I don't.
just saying. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of what poaching means. When you poach something, you're doing it illegally. Why would you pay somebody to do something illegal when you could just go out and poach them for zero? Just saying. And you got to be
because
kind of.
Because it was Cecil.
Well, you know, I remember Beanie and Cecil?
Yeah, I do.
I still don't know who Cecil is.
Yeah. Then remember the old
which Cecil? The
Cecil
lion or
the,
Beanie?
The C6 sea serpent.
Cecil, the C6 sea serpent, and you had Beanie with the little bean on his head. And then there was King Lee. I remember King Leonardo and...
The scientist and the little...
The little skunk, and then you had the Itchy was his brother, and then my favorite character was the little rat. They called him Biggie, and he had the Edward G. Robinson voice, and you go, yeah, this is Biggie talking, see? You know?
Boy.
Never mind. Anyway, the lion sleeps tonight in the jungle, quietly. We're throwing some fun around at that, but you know the real deal is, who cares? They don't care in Zimbabwe. They shoot lions every other day, but I guess... people that are cutting up babies and selling body parts is not news, but Cecil the lion is, okay? And that's the real story here. I mean, anybody who just shoots a lion for fun is an idiot in my book. I mean,
well, shoots any animal for fun.
I'm a hunter. I've been doing it all my life. I don't take any pleasure on killing the animal. I take pleasure in the fact of being out in the mountains. I take pleasure in the fact that, you know, I have my own meat and it's organic and it's pure. It's not full of steroids and all that. But nobody takes pleasure that I know of in just the absolute killing of an animal for the sake of killing. Otherwise,
that's not what hunting's all about.
Right. So,
you don't watch enough kids' cartoons.
Evidently, I haven't been indoctrinated enough with kids' cartoons.
Yeah, the Disney propaganda.
Disney propaganda. Yeah, well, you know, we're going to have well, more on that later. And so I got to do this story. Okay, this comes from Dr. Rich Swire at drichswire.com. And the headline is Snopes. I'm not sure if that what the pronunciation is. I call it Snopes because it sounds pretty Snoopy to me. CEO arrested on charges of fraud and corruption. Okay, so, wow, Bob's got the cartoon pulled up. King Leonardo, I can't believe it. What a guy. We'll have to hear the intro into that. Anyway, Los Angeles. Snoop's owner, Snoops.com owners Barbara and David Mickelson were detained by police today after an unrelated investigation of a Snoops.com editor led police into a paper trail of corruption, bribery, and fraud at the very heart of the fact-checking organization. Evidence obtained by police has revealed that Snoops.com, which markets itself as the definitive internet reference source for urban legends, folklore, myths, rumors, and misinformation, has a history of accepting money and favors from left-leaning and pro-Islamic political groups and individuals for helping them to advance their cause by rigging the public discourse with selective fact-finding and deliberate manipulation of public opinion. Now, this is not some old story. This is from August 6th, 2015. I haven't vetted the whole story yet, but all those people out there, well, Snoop said, you know what I have to say to you? Shut up, because what Snoop says is bullcrap.
Well, once again, it shows that you have to do your own research and do your education on
your
different things.
Your own investigation.
That's right.
Oh, you have to do an investigation on and make sure that the information is truthful.
You can't believe everything on the internet, can you?
That's such a stupid statement.
What do you believe in?
Oh, we got the monkeys combined. I'm not sure where we're going with that one. Anyway, but the real deal is, can you believe anything that you get? You got to have a little bit of truth discrepancy on your news and what your information. You got to have a filter that's coming in. You know, you got to filter everything a little bit. You know, it's are you stupid? You know, but we can believe.
You got to quit being lazy. That's what it comes down to. You got to quit being lazy.
You need to go to the source. Like, I love all of these people that have opinion and commentary on things like the TPA that haven't read the TPA.
Right. And I was talking to somebody this morning, and, you know, the fact that our congressman doesn't deny that he was paid money to it's kind of like Snoop's, okay?
I was going to say, did they get all that money at once?
I know.
Or did it trickle in?
Well, there's no denying.
Does that make a difference?
There's no denying that there was a payoff. It's just that it didn't come all at once. So I guess if we get paid off incrementally, then we're only incrementally corrupt, right?
Well, you can take so many different examples of, take the vote to defund sanctuary cities. Everybody's running around going, oh, that's so fantastic. They defunded sanctuary cities. And when the voice in the room stands up and goes, wait a minute, no, they didn't. Oh, you're just angry about everything. You just want to attack. And
you're an extremist.
You're an extremist. And it's like, okay, you want some proof? Go read the actual bill that defunded sanctuary cities. They're removing federal funding for cities that receive funding for detaining illegal aliens, which sanctuary cities don't do by the definition of being a sanctuary city. They didn't defund anything.
Right.
But when you say that,
it sounds good.
You just want to attack, and there's nothing that's good enough for you.
Well, that's what I was saying this morning to the person I was talking to, is that the real deal is that anytime you say something that is not the mainstream media or the narrative that you're getting out of whatever party or media source that you're getting, all of a sudden you're branded some kind of extremist. I just want the truth. I just want the truth. And you know, I don't care who it hurts at this point, because that's why we're in the trouble that we're in. We're in the trouble that we're in because we have not been looking to the truth. We look to parties, we look to heroes, we look to people. The truth will set you free, period.
Right, that's the only way we're going to sort this stuff out.
Yeah, it's like the one guy that comes to the Tea Party and says, well, the state of Jefferson ought to tell all the kids that they'll forgive all their student loans. Well, they can't do that. That's a federal program. But he wanted us to lie to him, and I said, what? So in other words, we should build the foundation of our government on lies. How would we be different than anybody else out there?
We don't want to be like the rest of them.
If you want to be free, you can't be morally corrupted, and you can't be corrupted by the money and the power. if you want to be free. It's really that simple, because that's what happens, and that's what's happened in our country. That's why we're in the trouble that we're in. Anyway, we have Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
Hey, Mark, Linda, Red, how you all doing?
We're doing good.
The fun never stops.
Well, you know, you had just mentioned the $317,000, and I'm the one who asked that question on Friday, this last Friday, August the 7th, and that was at 8:29 in the morning on Carl Bott's show. In fact, if people want to go to that archive, they can go to 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 25 seconds and hear those questions I asked the congressman. I did it respectfully. I wonder if I'll be challenged on the tone, because I know that someone called in afterward, and I heard my tone. I called him sir. I was very respectful. I just wanted him to answer the question. He did. He didn't deny taking the $317,000. So when his aide said, and other people said, well, we haven't seen the money. Well, of course you haven't seen the money. It goes into an account. He did say something about it being in a state-related pot. That's at about 1 hour and 31 minutes into that program. And also, he did not deny taking the money from Monsanto. And I've specifically mentioned Monsanto. He said they didn't get it all at once. Then he defended Speaker Boehner, saying that a lot of people say we take these big lump sums like they've been picking on the Speaker. Well, even Sean Hannity's picking on the Speaker now. I don't think there's one presidential candidate that is for the Speaker, John Boehner, but it seems as if we have some sort of alliance with him when it comes to our congressman defending him. So if people want to listen to the fact, and I listened to it two or three times, there was nothing there that was calling names or anything. I didn't let him off the hook. I tried to get him to answer the question.
Well, that's why you're an extremist, Terry, is because you want the question answered, and you didn't go along with the narrative, you right-wing nut job, you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the thing is that he admitted it, and it's right there, folks. 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 25 seconds into Carl Bott's program last Friday, August 7th. Go to the archive and listen to it yourself. If anybody was defensive, it was him. And then after that, he goes on to talk about how people are being rude to him because people hold his feet to the fire. He didn't even know the name of his aide that had mentioned up in Susanville. He didn't even know the name of the aide that had said that, well, we haven't seen the money. And then he tried to cover it up by saying, oh, my gosh, you know, he may have just gotten a little bit confused on what he was talking about because we're not supposed to talk about campaign contributions. Really? Really? So let's get this straight. Let's defend people in our office that do things, maybe because they're inept, maybe because they don't know any better. But let's go after the constituents who simply want to know, well, sir, is this true or not true? Is this true or not true? Did you take the money or not?
Well, and it's more than just taking the money, Terry. If he just took the money and voted the right way, it'd be one thing. But the funny part about all this is when they take the money, they vote for the people that are giving the money. They vote in the direction that the people that give them the money are, like Monsanto or J.P.
Yeah,
Morgan.
If they have morals or a backbone, why would they take the money from people that they know have an agenda?
If you took the money and voted correctly for your constituency, I wouldn't even have a problem with that. But if you take the money and you're basically being bribed to vote a certain way and not your conscience or the right thing to do, then that's a real problem.
Well, that's what I'm
or
saying.
In direct opposition of the support of your constituents.
Yeah. Why would you take the money in the first place if you're immoral and you're gonna vote that way?
Well,
why wouldn't you just tell them, you know, no thanks?
Or if you're gonna take the money and vote to reduce the Constitution and the power of the Constitution to keep us a free people, then you've been bribed and you're corrupt, and at what point do you call that treason?
I think the other thing that's notable is on the chat room during that time, someone got on the chat room. I'm not sure if it was their real name or not, but it was someone got on the chat room, and what they asked was, well, you know, what do you want to do here? He's trying to do the right thing. What do you want? Do you want Heidi Hall? Well, wait a second. You're saying that we have to settle for
whatever he does.
Whoever we get, even though they're not doing the will of the people, even though they're defending people at this point, like Boehner, to where even Sean Hannity is just outraged with him. Everybody is. Cruz, all of them. And, you know, and really, so, again, it's the type of thing where I'm a little tired of the tone business. If you can't be firm and ask the questions because you're afraid to rock the boat because he's what we have, really? No. Well, I think that people have a dream.
This is
and
what,
that dream is liberty.
Well, this is exactly what the politicians want, though. This is the exact narrative that they want. It's what they put out. It's what their staffers put out. They want you to go away quietly into the night when you don't like what they do. They want you to hold your nose and vote for them anyway. Well, I'm telling you, we're way past going quietly into the night. I might be holding my nose, but I'll tell you what. I may not be voting for him, and I'm going to try to get people to vote against him if he's not going to do the right thing. If he's that corrupt, at least he's going to hear my opinion, and as much as I can get that out there, the truth, because the real deal is they want you to be quiet when they vote the wrong way. They want you to go away into the night.
Well, he even said that in the meeting on Monday, the Monday night meeting, that not to question him. If you
trust him.
Yeah, because trust him. You elected me, so don't ever question me because I'm the same person.
Then what are they saying? They're saying it doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to do what I want. Just keep sending the money in and don't put any pressure on me to do the right thing because if you do, I'm going to call you an extremist.
Well, here's the rub on the thing. The comments that he said not only at the Tea Party that night because I did watch the video, but the comment he made on the radio, I mean, after we were done talking, and he did tone it down a bit because I was civil. He couldn't really get too worked up. The thing that really bothered me was that, well, gosh, I just won't tell people how I'm voting now.
Right.
So
that's what
now
he's doing.
Yeah,
that's exactly
what he wants to do,
doing.
And his staff's been instructed. So now he doesn't want to communicate with the constituents. And what he's trying to say is this is just a few people. Well, I would submit to you, this is more than a few people. This is people in 20 counties I know of that are not happy in parts of 20 counties with their people, with their supervisors, with their, maybe not their supervisors, but with their congressmen.
That's the other tactic, is to marginalize anybody who says anything or gets outraged about this stuff. You're just a malcontent. You know, I don't need to listen to you, but you're absolutely right. We've called him on several issues, like the DARK Act and a couple other issues. And
the pending Boehner removal vote, things like that. And, you know, the response of the office is, at this time, the congressman has not decided his position. We'll be issuing an email after he votes.
Yeah, now, how does that grab you? I mean, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. See, to me, it's pretty simple. And like you said, well, yeah, I received the money. Okay. I mean, the point is that, you know, to stand there and tell people that you are with them and that you're one of them, and now you won't even give them what it is that you're going to do. You won't even allow that because now we're being put in the corner. Sound familiar?
Sounds like
we're having a timeout here just because of a few people. Well, I would submit to you that when I listened to that video and Reddit asked the question about about what had happened as far as the courts go, and Doug LaMalfa said they had lost four times in court. Was that an American court? Was that a United States court is what Reddit asked? And his answer was, no, it was an international court. You could hear everyone in that audience go with a collective sigh like, oh, my gosh. Go listen to that. That's exactly what everybody – that wasn't just a few people in that room. That was everyone in that room because everyone understands that this gives away our sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. I mean,
that's why – There is a revolt brewing in the Republican Party. Is true conservatives are they're done with it. They're fed up. You know, recent numbers that are coming out on Breitbart this morning, only 16% of Republicans support John Boehner and Mitch McConnell as the leadership. Yet our own congressman is doubling and quadrupling down on supporting them and that they're great guys and it's just internet hype. Yet 84% of your own party doesn't want them as leadership, and you're going to go against that.
And this, again, is out of his own mouth. This, all you have to do is listen to the radio. Some people, I think, are so disappointed that you know, and I know I'm one of them, you know, I was a great advocate, and then to have a situation to where, oh, my gosh, what happened here? And now, even with a push, that the Republican newer people are saying, gosh, you know, hey, we don't support McConnell. We don't support Boehner. For him to go back with the old guard, oh, my gosh. I mean, I really don't know what else to say.
Well, they don't care what we think. I mean, that's the obvious conclusion that you can, that's the only conclusion that you can come to, is they really don't care what we think. It's a big game to keep us in line and public opinion on his side so he can get reelected. I mean,
well, the other thing is too, is that when you ask a question civilly, and I listened to that and it was firm, the questions that were being asked by the majority of people at that Tea Party meeting, they were firm, just like when I was on the phone with him on Friday. I was not rude. I called him, sir. I asked him to excuse me because I couldn't really hear, which I couldn't hear him that well. Okay? He was the one who basically, at the end, had to go off on people. The defensiveness to me is immature. I'm tired of the high school thing. I want someone to be in office that's a man. I want someone that will stand up and say, yeah, I'm right, or yeah, I'm wrong.
Right.
But I want someone who will stand there and stand for the people.
Well, and give a good explanation on how their vote. Not, I mean, there's no explanations for some of these votes. I mean, why? You know, he says, like, for the TPA, that it didn't do this and it didn't do that, when everything that we read and everything that we see and all our information and actually going to the bill says exactly the opposite of what he says it is.
Well, right, and that, again, that's the thing. I think that the disappointment with a lot of people, I mean, you know, you can be as disappointed as you want, but to defend disappointment, to defend a situation and positions being taken that hurt your kids and your grandkids' liberty, forget about you.
Well,
what about your kids and grandkids?
Go ahead and play that clip, Bob, because this is how I feel about it right here. This is it right here. Go ahead.
You know something, Lou?
Yeah.
I know why we got fired. Too much of your yapping and not enough of this.
What's that? Hey, that was uncalled for.
Oh, and electrocuting us last year was okay.
That was a joke.
Ah, you like jokes, huh? Here's one for you. Two frogs walk into a bar. One of them does this.
Ow! Slap the punk! Call security!
Who's your daddy?
Yeah, hey, ow!
Want a piece of me?
Frankie!
Look, he's changing colors.
Come on, squirt some tears, punk.
Frankie, I think they're upset.
That's how I feel. I mean, that's how I feel right now. Obviously, we're joking around and having a little fun with it, but you know something? I mean, I'm at the point where, you know, being quiet and going away and not saying anything and, you know, holding my nose, I'm not doing it anymore because it doesn't work. All it does is embolden them and it empowers them to do whatever they want.
Well, people, the biggest thing is two things. All these elected officials, they're who we have. We have to work with them. No. If they won't work with us, then we don't have a look. See, the thing is that we're so ready to ask permission. Wait a second. It's we the people in order to form a more perfect union. We're not asking permission. We are letting you know what it is we want you to do. You're the employee. You're not king.
Exactly.
And to shut people off and to say, well, we'll let you know how to actually say that, we will let you know how the congressman voted when he's done. Are you kidding me? I don't care what side of the fence you're on that one. That's outrageous. That is just outrageous.
Yeah, it's pretty arrogant. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I think we beat that horse to death, but there we have it. I think let's move on, and we'll get something. I think we've got Mr. Tim Donnelly coming on here at 10:30.
About
10:30. So let's move on. I think, like I say, we beat that with switch that dead horse. But it is what it is. And this Snoop story, you know, and then I'm looking at this other thing. This is on the Chicower letters. You can go to the Chicower. That's CHICOER.com, and there's an article there on LaMalfa's voting on GMO labeling, stomping on our rights. Here's another example. He did this right after the Tea Party meeting, and read that. And you know something? You know, he's not voting for us. And guess who's supporting that bill that he voted yes on? Monsanto.
It is Monsanto's bill.
Wow. So if he's getting paid for Monsanto and he keeps voting for Monsanto, he won't tell us how he's voting before we get there. Whose side is he on? With that, I think we need to go to a break.
Have a good show, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I see. Here's an open casting call for actors, singers, and dancers ages 7 and up for Reading's holiday tradition, A Cascade Christmas. This holiday spectacular features an all-new story, music, dance, and illusion to bring the spirit of Christmas into everyone's hearts. Auditions are at the Cascade August 21st through the 23rd. Singing auditions are on a first-come, first-served basis. Dance auditions by appointment only. Information and appointments online at cascadebackstage.org/auditions or 243-8877.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Reading plant and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show on Friday, August 14th at 7:30 a.m. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Pete's coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about. A place of grace.
Your home. You serve your country with honor. Now it's time to strike out on a new path forward. You're a veteran. You set the standard for character, integrity, leadership. And you've gained valuable skills. Skills employers are looking for. At jobcenter.usa.gov, you can get access to personalized services and the support you need to find the perfect career. This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams saying, visit an American Job Center today and discover your next opportunity of a lifetime.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I'm all right, nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
In case you didn't want to know. Anyway, I'm back here, Sovereign Mind Radio, and I kind of wanted to finish this story out with the Dr. Rich Swire on the Snoops. We got kind of sidetracked there. But it's funny that the reason he got caught on this thing is because Late Monday morning, Brian Williston, a Snoops.com editor who also doubles as the accountant, found himself in a flea market on the outskirts of Los Angeles. As he was browsing the different tables and tents looking for antiques, an old mechanical piano playing Dixieland, a song that was adopted as a de facto anthem in the Confederacy during the American Civil War, is now considered offensive by some due to its link to the iconographic and ideologic of the Old South, the ideology of the Old South. The tune sparked an outrage in Williston, who began yelling and cursing those who would like to bring back slavery and radical separation, and ordering the vendors to turn off that racist music when no one nearby claimed to know how to turn off the 100-year-old machine. Williston became violent. He started grabbing various antique objects from the vendors' tables and throwing them at the antique piano and attempting to silence the music. Okay, this is the guy that's at Snoop's. A bystander, later identified as William Barksdale, working as a courier for the L.A. Messenger Service, attempted to calm Williston down, saying that someone is just trying to see if the piano still works. It's only a song. Don't shoot the pianist. But that only prompted the infuriated editor to redirect his rage to the messenger. Williston, who was white, began to choke Barksdale.
That's all the action you're going to get, see? Until I get a new plan, we'll lay it low, see? Now shut up and let me read my paper.
This is Biggie talking, see? So Williston, who is white, began to choke Barksdale, who is black, while screaming, shut up, as the mechanical piano continued to play Dixieland in the background. Now, you can't make this crap up. This is like something out of a movie. After some of the shoppers intervened and pried Williston's hands off the courier's throat, the Snoops.com editor fled the scene of the incident. LAPD quickly identified Williston by the personal check he'd left with one of the vendors, which contained his full name and address. While inside his home, Williston ignored commands to open the door, causing police to use force in order to detain him. So they forced an entry in order to detain him. The arresting officer caught Williston slipping some papers under a Persian rug. This has got to be the best story in years. Which prompted the police to remove the rug and examine the documents beneath it. One of them turned out to be a handwritten ledger containing names of well-known individuals and organizations who have been paying Snoops to debunk stories that cast them in a bad light while validating damaging half-truths and rumors about their political opponents. Having established their website as a reputable resource for validating and debunking stories in popular American culture since 1995, the Mickelson couple soon found themselves in a position to influence public discourse by punishing and rewarding certain cultural and political biases. Before long, they were accepting money to promote rumors and downplay or completely ignore some others, which over the years have brought them millions of dollars, according to sources. Now, all of you birthers out there, go back and see what they said about the birther report. See what they said about the birth certificate. And all the ones that cited Snoops. I'm just saying, I don't know whether it's true or not, but they couldn't have gotten paid off, could they? And all the information that they've been putting out since 1995 is rock solid, right?
Wow. That whole flea market thing, that's just an urban myth.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's easily on par with CNN or MSNBC. It's at least that reliable.
Oh, man. I mean, you know. So it goes on. There's a little bit more here, and we got to finish the story because you just can't make this kind of stuff up. Especially scandalous may be the website's possible collaboration with left-leaning national media organizations, which started with payments to Snoops to overlook or validate their inaccuracy and biased reporting, and eventually evolved into a full-scale coordinated effort with left-leaning groups and public relations firms to construct a media narrative that gave legitimacy to certain opinions, political causes, and public figures, while discrediting other opinions, causes, and public public figures. The list of groups and individuals paying to use the website's clout range from local politicians to transnational entities to foreign governments, including Russia, Cuba, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the Palestinian Authority. None of the specifics or individual names are being revealed while the investigation is still ongoing, but the police source has indicated that the shockwaves will rock the world of the media and the political establishment. Several watchdog groups are already condemning Snopes.com as a corrupt organization with zero credibility and urging their readers to disregard any political debunking from this tainted source. But some media experts predict that, given the high-profile names involved, as well as the power and magnitude of the political opinion generating machine of which Snopes.com was only a small wheel, the story may never be allowed to reach a full-blown scandal and will soon be discarded as an urban legend, joining a long line of other similar stories debunked by Snopes.com. Unfreaking believable.
Does that constitute conspiracy?
Yeah, fraud, conspiracy. I think there's probably a little treason in there, depending on what they were debunking from foreign governments.
Do we know if anybody has any video from the flea market?
There's actually a video right on here. I'll send you the link of the piano player, the piano playing Dixie. I don't know if they have the actual video, but we can't hear it, but. Anyway, I'm not sure we have anything but the actual piano playing Dixie. So I'm sure there's going to be more coming out on this story, but you heard it first, if you heard it here in the North State at Sovereign Minds Radio. Well, moving right along. Boy, that one.
Now what are people going to do if they can't go to Snopes and read what they post?
Research.
Oh, you might
go to source documents?
I know.
You know, get it from the horse's mouth.
Call me crazy, but yeah, actually do some homework.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It might require unbelievable effort.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, or you can listen to
Where I'm at is, if you want to pass judgment or engage or have an opinion and you have no idea what you're talking about, you're just taking it off of what somebody else said because you haven't researched it yourself, I don't care what you have to say anymore. I don't.
That's pretty blunt.
Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I mean, the real deal is that everybody's going around site. You know, we're in the information age. You know, we used to be in the industrial age. Now we're in the information age, but we're also in the disinformation age. Mm-hmm. And it comes from all sources. I don't care whether it's TV, radio, internet. You take your pick. There's so much disinformation out there designed to confuse as opposed to inform. Because there's two reasons to write. Either write or you tell stories to confuse or to educate. Now, you got to decide which sources that are doing that, and you got to find some sources that you can trust somewhat in, but you have to go to the original sources, the documents. Mm-hmm. You have to look and do some homework for yourself, because if you're sitting there watching Fox News and believing, you know, it just cracks me up. Play that clip from Judge Napolitano. Everybody's been outraged about the Fox News scandal with Megyn Kelly and the debate with Donald Trump. I'm saying you guys are late to the party, because I don't think Fox News has been fair and balanced for years. And I heard
Can you say Saudi Arabian interests?
You saw that too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, just because they're having dinner with Saudi Arabia. But I want to play this little clip here. We don't have Tim Donnelly.
He's not on the line yet. So let's be running behind.
Well, let's let it roll. We're trying to find out what's going on.
So let's play this clip from Napolitano. And this is when I first figured out that I thought Fox News was in the tank, because shortly after this clip, Napolitano was fired.
Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Tonight, what if the Constitution no longer applied? What if the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the government? What if Congress's enumerated powers in the Constitution no longer limited Congress, but were actually used as a justification to extend Congress's authority over every realm of human life? What if the president, meant to be an equal to Congress, has instead become a democratically elected, term-limited monarch? What if the president assumed that everything he did was legal just because he's the president? What if he could interrupt your regularly scheduled radio and TV programming for a special message from him? What if he could declare war on his own, What if he could read your emails and your texts without a search warrant? What if he could kill you without warning? What if Supreme Court justices no longer looked to the Constitution to determine the constitutionality of a law, but rather simply to what justices who preceded them thought about it? What if the rights and principles guaranteed in the Constitution have been so distorted in the past 200 years as to be unrecognizable by the founders? What if the 50 states were no longer sovereign entities, equals to each other, and parents of the federal government they voluntarily constituted? What if the states were mere provinces of a totally nationalized and fully centralized government? What if the Constitution was amended stealthily, not by constitutional amendments duly ratified by the states, but by the constant and persistent expansion of the federal government's role in our lives? What if the federal government decided if its own powers were proper and constitutional? What if the Constitution were no longer the supreme law of the land? What if you needed a license from the government to speak, to assemble, or to protest against the government? What if the government didn't like what you planned to say, and so it didn't give you the license? What if the right to keep and bear arms only applied to the government? What if posse comitatus, the federal law that prohibits our military from occupying our streets, were no longer in effect? What if the government considered the military an adequate dispenser of domestic law enforcement? What if cops looked and acted like troops and you couldn't distinguish the military from the police? What if you were not secure in your person, in your papers, and in your property? What if federal agents could write their own search warrants in defiance of the Constitution? What if the government could decide when you were and were not entitled to a jury trial? What if the government could take your property whenever it wanted? What if the government could continue prosecuting you until it got the verdict it wanted? What if the government could force you to testify against yourself simply by labeling you a domestic terrorist? What if the government could torture you until you said what the government wanted to hear? What if people running for president actually supported torture? What if the government tortured your children to get to you? What if government judges and government lawyers intimidated juries into convicting the innocent? What if the government could send you to your death and your innocence meant nothing so long as the government's procedures were followed? What if America's prison population, the largest in the world, was a cruel and unusual way for a country to be free? What if half the prison population never harmed anyone but themselves? What if the people had no rights except those the government chose to let them have? What if the states had no rights except to do as the federal government commanded? What if our elected officials didn't really live among us, but instead all had their hearts and homes in Washington, D.C.? What if the government could strip you of your rights because of where your mother was when you were born? What if the income tax was unconstitutional? What if the states were convinced to give up their representation in Congress? What if the government tried to ban you from using a substance in your body that is older than the government itself? What if voting didn't mean anything anymore because both political parties stand for big government? What if the government could write any law, regulate any behavior, and tax any event? The Constitution be damned. What if the government was the reason we don't have a Constitution anymore? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
That from a constitutional judge.
Yeah, pretty clear cut.
Yeah, who got fired from Fox shortly after that. And that's been about 5 years ago.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Anyway, we probably should go to a break.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9
on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
It's the 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino, starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, fight games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand of $250 and a high hand of $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit ReadingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Shasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Lamb Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Cellars, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Ridge Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Cellars. The 11th Annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. What's that keep you higher? Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back. I thought we were going to play Hakuna Matata.
Oh. Well, that's coming up next hour.
Oh, okay.
We still have some time.
I like that Kelly Clarkson, though. That's good stuff, Stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think Nietzsche said that. That's good. Anyway, I think we have our...
What doesn't kill me better run.
what doesn't kill me better reload. Anyway, I think we have our guest on the line, Tim Donnelly. Are you there, Mr. Donnelly?
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Can I call you Tim?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, very good. Now we, you're on the phone, and where are you at? I hope you're in California, aren't you?
I am in Twin Peaks, California. I was in San Francisco yesterday, all day. I flew up there in the morning, flew back, and now I'm back home. And tomorrow I'll be in San Diego.
All right. Where's Twin Peaks? I know there's a Twin Peaks in San Francisco, but
Twin Peaks is right near Lake Arrowhead.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
We lived there when we were children.
Yeah, I lived in Running Springs. I don't remember ever there being a Twin Peaks, though.
We really do exist.
Wasn't there some kind of a weird TV show, Twin Peaks?
Twin Peaks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. I left in second grade, so it's not like it wasn't a couple of years ago. Anyway, we're talking about the vaccine, I think, is why we wanted to have you on the show, and what's going on with that, and you're mounting a recall or a charge against it?
Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm the proponent. I filed a referendum the day after Jerry Brown signed this draconian forced vaccination law. Basically, SB 277 says that your child, if they're a school-aged child, will receive every single CDC-mandated vaccine that is on their list, or they'll be kicked out of school. If they miss a single booster shot, they cannot attend a public, private, or even a charter school. It writes a blank check and opens up the possibility to any future vaccinations that they want to add to the list.
I'm afraid that our kids are not going to be in school then, and then we'll have to find alternatives because this is like the last straw for me. It's not going to happen.
And the parents can't even opt out of this with this new bill, correct?
No, they erased the opt-out. You used to be able to opt out of some or all vaccinations
right.
based on religious or personal belief exemption. But this bill stamps that out. It's the first of its kind in the country. And, you know, this is happening at a time when the CDC whistleblower is saying, hey, look, we've had mercury in vaccines to use as a preservative because it was cheap.
Right.
And we don't really, the CDC doesn't want to own up to the fact that there's an entire generation of kids who have had, some of whom have had major side effects from mercury and vaccines.
Well, I mean, I didn't.
And
go ahead.
The point is, the public is about to become a lot more aware because it wasn't some random person who did these studies. It was the same government that wants to force you to vaccinate your kid who hid the evidence that the mercury-based preservative in most childhood vaccinations could be severely harmful, debilitating, literally mm-hmm. transform the life of your child or kill them.
I mean, that's what I didn't get an A in chemistry, but, you know, I did do a little mining in my day, and mercury is very poisonous, and it'll make your teeth fall out. I mean,
it makes you go crazy.
Yeah, it's where the term Mad Hatter comes from.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Hatters used to use the mercury to shape beaver pelts and things mm-hmm. like that, and eventually the arsenic and the mercury would seep into their skin and drive them mad, as a hatter.
So why would they, in God's name, want to put mercury in there? They can't find something to substitute that?
Well, I don't know. All I know is it's a cheap and very effective preservative. The problem is that once it gets into your body, and so
let's
back up for a second. When you put massive doses of mercury into an infant's body or a newborn's body, literally, it has, on some who are really susceptible, it has devastating effects. Mm-hmm. It can have neurological effects. And the problem with it is that the solution costs more money. The solution is single doses. You don't need a preservative then because you're not sticking a needle back in there 10 times.
How much more money does it cost? It can't be that much, is it?
I don't know. That's the vaccine maker's problem.
That's
But in terms of the public health, the taxpayers had paid out over $3 billion out of a taxpayer-funded vaccine injury compensation fund. The drug makers, the vaccine makers, zero liability. They've been completely shielded and protected from liability.
Yeah,
by the government.
There's been laws passed that the vaccine makers are completely protected from liability or litigation.
Right. Yeah, you can't sue them.
And Mercury is
court. You go through this program that paid out $3 billion in harmful damages for a product that's supposed to be safe.
Right. And we know how their data is. It doesn't even stop the illness. Not only are you poisoning the children, but whatever illness that you're vaccinating for, it doesn't do that.
Well, look, I'm not here to debate the efficacy of vaccines, but I'll tell you what, and I vaccinated my kid. But knowing what I now know about what the government did specifically, literally shredded documents, took evidence, diluted it, did anything they could to come up with a narrative that said this stuff's safe rather than just confront the fact that it wasn't, because their study found that it was devastatingly dangerous and it would have literally taken whatever faith people have in the government with vaccines and would have wiped it out.
Listen.
So instead, even though they knew this at a secret meeting, they went, which, by the way, they recorded. They had minutes taken, and it was later published. They went to the White House and lied through their teeth.
Mr. Donnelly, hold that thought. Please stay on the line with us because they're going to give us a hard break here in a few seconds, and I can't stop them from cutting us off. But please stay on the line so we can finish this.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Six USF-16 fighter jets have arrived at Turkey's southern air base to join the U.S.-led coalition fight against Islamic State militants. The U.S. European Command says the U.S. Air Force deployed a small detachment of six F-16 jets, support equipment, and about 300 personnel at Incirlik Air Force Base. Also on SRNNews.com, President Obama says he doesn't think a constructive relationship with Iran will take shape immediately, and maybe not at all. Mr. Obama tells CNN the nuclear problem must be dealt with first. He says the new pact with Iran achieves that goal better than any alternative. GOP presidential candidate Senator Marco Rubio says there's a lot at stake for the U.S. in the Iran nuclear deal.
If they become a nuclear power, they can place a nuclear warhead on a long-range missile capable of reaching the United States. And I think we have a vested interest in the outcome of this that perhaps is different from some of our European allies in the long term.
Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill says she's concerned about whether other countries will follow suit if the U.S. rejects the Iran nuclear deal.
The world is united in this deal, so it's going to have to be a status quo where the rest of the world also stays united, or our sanctions regime will just fall apart.
Rubio and McCaskill made their comments on NBC's Meet the Press. A Saudi-led coalition airstrike in Yemen has hit Allied fighters in a friendly fire incident, according to Yemeni security officials and pro-government fighters. Five children and three adults have been found dead inside a Houston-area home. Harris County Sheriff's Deputy Thomas Gilliland says a suspect surrendered.
He told the negotiator he would come outside. He walked out, raised his hands, and our high-risk operation units operators took him into custody without any incident.
Authorities say the victim's bodies were discovered late yesterday after police arrested the man. The relationship between the suspect and the victims is not known. This is SRN News.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-280-9595. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-280-9595. 800-280-9595. That's 800-280-9595.
An internal investigation by Uber found it mistakenly granted driver status to a man now accused of sexually assaulting a female passenger.
According to WFAA-TV in Dallas, Talal Ali Shamoot presented a fake city permit to obtain Uber approval as a driver, but because the permit was accepted as genuine, Uber thought he had already passed a city background check, so the company did not perform one of its own. Officials say because of a felony in his record, Shamoot, who was released in 2012 after serving time on a weapons charge, would have failed the Dallas background check and not been hired at all. Ron DeRockstra, SRN News.
A vigil is planned for the Vermont Department for Children and Family social worker who was gunned down as she left her office in Barry. DECF workers and members of the Vermont State Employees Association will gather at Old Labor Hall in Barry in a few hours and march to Barry Place, where Laura Sobel was shot to death Friday afternoon as she left her office. This is SRN News. Iraq's prime minister has unveiled sweeping reforms to reduce government costs and fight corruption after protests across the country.
The Iraqi prime minister Haider Abadi proposes the elimination of the posts of the three vice presidents and the deputy prime minister. He is also calling for the creation of a committee of judges to investigate cases of corruption within state institutions. Some of the proposals have already been approved by the Council of Ministers, but still need to be passed by Parliament. Others would require changes to the Constitution, meaning that swift action is unlikely.
BBC correspondent Ahmed Maher reporting from Baghdad. The flow of mustard-colored wastewater laced with heavy metals continues into a Colorado river from a long-abandoned gold mine as Environmental Protection Agency officials await a full analysis of the sludge, which is believed to contain heavy metals. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Jeremy House.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign mind. Second hour, third hour. I guess we're in the third hour. I just want to
third
get back.
Hour.
Yep. I just want to get back to Mr. Donnelly here real quickly because I know he has a limited frame of time here that we want to stay on point and get going right back where we were. So this stuff is bad for you. Mercury doses. Evidently, there's varying effects on different kids, but. I mean, is there, I've heard that there's baby parts, I've heard that there's, you know, stem cell research, monkey pus. I mean, is that,
formaldehyde.
Is all of that true?
Yes. In terms of what's in vaccinations, you can look, they have to build them on human tissue and they use fetal cell lines.
Wow.
Which sounds real clinical until you watch the Planned Parenthood videos.
Exactly.
And see where they get the quote unquote fetal cell lines.
Unbelievable.
Because in most cases they're aborted.
Wow.
So they take the baby parts and they use that to produce the vaccinations that everyone is so excited about, that everyone says are so safe, that the government wants to force you to take. And if you, as a Christian, or, by the way, yesterday I was in San Francisco, I met a young woman who is Islamic. She's offended by that. Many people in her mosque are offended by that, but they don't have a choice. And here's the thing, when the government stamps out the religious exemption and the personal belief, or what's called the conscience exemption, then you have a government that is coercing you to do something against your will and against the First Amendment.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I mean, the corruption.
And then when you factor in the fact that, first of all, the Supreme Court has found these products are unavoidably unsafe, meaning there's no way you can guarantee the safety of the product. So if you can't guarantee the safety of the product, in a free society, we have a couple ways to deal with that. One is you can hold the manufacturer of the product accountable, and they're liable and can be sued. Well, if my kid died from a vaccine or from the mercury or was debilitated, I would want to sue for the maximum amount of damage and punish the company so they'll change the product and make it safer. That's what we do in a free market.
It would help.
Right, but the government shields them, and then the government comes over here and grabs you by the neck and says you will vaccinate your kid, or we're going to take away what in California is a constitutional right to a free and public education. Now your child, and look, I believe in freedom, that all the way around. So if you want to homeschool, great, you should feel free to do so, but you shouldn't be forced to do so. For some people, it's not practical. It's terrifying, or it's just impossible. Bottom line is, some parents want their kids in some sort of a public education setting. When I say public education setting, I'm not talking about public school. I'm just saying to literally be able to congregate with other children.
Right.
Sure.
Well, this bill doesn't even allow homeschoolers who work with public charter schools to go to any sort of a public congregation type meeting. This is so draconian.
It's outrageous. It's just outrageous.
Well, how long is it until there's follow-up to that, where they start coming after parents because their children are truant, or Child Protective Services starts to get involved because you're failing to protect your child?
Or abuse.
Exactly. CPS will be the tool they will use to wipe out the homeschoolers and wipe out those who refuse to comply. And look, so let's say you're listening right now, and you're just saying, you guys are nuts. Vaccines are great. They're the most amazing thing on the planet. And this, you know what, I'm so glad this bill is in effect, because now my kid's going to be safe from your kid. Okay, let's review that. SB 277 literally kicks all kids out of school who gets a single booster shot. By the way, most of the teachers aren't vaccinated and don't get their booster shots on a regular basis. So just food for thought. But SB 277 makes everyone feel safer, so now you can go to Disneyland again. Oh, that's right. SB 277 doesn't apply to Disneyland. The CDC said that a foreign visitor, either an illegal alien or a foreign tourist, brought measles back into the United States at Disneyland. And SB 277 will never stop that, so it could happen tomorrow, it could happen next week, and it could happen the week after that.
If it works so well, why are they even worried about having forcing me to have the vaccination, or my grandkids, kids right now? If it works so good, why would they be afraid to even commingle with my grandson at school? What's the problem?
Because the facts are that vaccinations are not perfect. They are basically, you're introducing a form of the disease into your body, and while you are in the shedding period, you can actually make other people sick while you have a vaccine in your body. And once it wears off, which, once again, let's go back to the fact sheet, CDC says that something like 12% or 18%, depending on which numbers you believe, of the people who contracted measles and then spread it had one or multiple courses of vaccination.
Yes, they were vaccinated.
About 40-something percent were unvaccinated. But then there's what they call the undocumented vaccination status, or unknown. And I thought that was an interesting way to put it. They never clarify what that really means. So they're either illegal aliens, or they're people who they just didn't know their vaccination status.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The whole point is, vaccinations are not perfect, but I agree with you. If you truly believe, in this whole thing about immunization, then your child is immunized from a disease. And if my child gets measles and I didn't vaccinate them, I wouldn't send them to school.
Right.
Yeah, there should be a choice.
It's common sense.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I was going to say, I got to get this in too, because about the opposition in Sacramento. I mean, I seen the news where there was overwhelmingly people opposed to this thing in Sacramento. I mean, there's people lined up around the halls. I mean,
there were more people that came out on this bill than the Sergeant at Arms had seen in 25 years.
Wow.
There were thousands. And now those thousands of people, by the way, because there is something you can do about this. Those thousands of people are gathering signatures to overturn this law and restore a parent's right to make that decision for their own child.
Well, how many
of
those?
The bottom line is, I vaccinated my kids. I don't want to force anyone to do the same because there's side effects. There's risk. And every parent has to make that decision for themselves.
Right.
And the government has taken that away. We have a chance to restore that. We have to get 367,000 valid signatures. We have 29 counties very well organized, and we are steamrolling ahead. And if you want to get involved in this and gather signatures or sign the petition, our website is sb277referendum.com. And you can sign up, you can donate, you can get involved and actually volunteer. It's a critically important thing if you believe in parents' rights.
And we are actually working with people here in Reading to help assist in the collection of signatures, you know. But my concern is following past patterns, how many of those signatures will be disqualified by the state?
Well, we have a training video up on our website to make sure that we get the most accurate signatures possible. And we're working with churches, we're working with tea parties, we're working with the chiropractors. I was at one of their conventions yesterday. All over the state, we've got people who are coming together from all walks of life, from every political background, economic background, racial background, and saying, look, this is government gone way too far. It is not about vaccines.
No.
It is about
freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah,
terrible. It is, and about parents' right. And I want to what I want to say is, people should look at when has the pharmaceuticals or the CDC really had anybody's best interest at heart. If you're sitting on the fence and you don't know, they're in it for the money.
Well,
plain and simple,
they make money by pushing drugs.
Yeah,
just like the news networks make money by selling
yep.
soap.
They don't care.
And you got to understand the money. You have to follow the money.
Yep.
And the bottom line is, if you're able to push a product, and that product is unsafe, but it doesn't matter because you just made it the cheapest way possible because the government's going to shield you from the lawsuits. What do you care?
Right. Yeah. And I can make another drug to say that I can help with that drug that just. Yeah.
Right. If you cause ADHD.
Yeah, I got a cure for that with this one. Yeah, exactly.
I bet if we did a little investigative reporting, and that's what we do around here, and found out what the campaign contributions were from the big pharmaceuticals and the
number
guys that
one
were pushing
contributor
it.
To Richard Pan, the biggest pusher of the vaccine bill, his number
one contributor.
It was something
like $97,000.
Yeah. So these guys have been bought off, is what we're hearing. Because if overwhelmingly their constituents oppose it, and they pass it anyway, and they may exempt the guys that are producing it and the guys that are paying them off, I mean, what the heck is going on? I mean, it's like, where do we? This is a banana republic or what?
I think following the money is always a very effective way to understand why things happen.
Yeah, GlaxoSmithKline was the largest sole contributor to Richard Pan, who was one of the biggest pushers of this bill. And then the other guy from L.A., I can't remember his name, but his brother actually heads up a health and human services clinic out of Los Angeles through UCLA that is funded almost exclusively by big pharmaceutical and vaccination companies.
What was his name, Tim?
Senator Ben Allen.
Senator Ben Allen. I mean, at what point in time do we stop, you know, doing our daily routines and get involved in this stuff and get mad? I mean, what we've been doing here at this station is I'm at the point where I'm getting mad. We're calling a spade a spade. We're telling the truth out there, and we're not doing it in such a nice way. And I'm at the point where I'm not even going to be respectful anymore, because when people start compromising my child's safety, my grandchildren's safety for money, then we got a real problem here, and this is something that is going to not go away.
Yeah, and you know, here's a last thought I'd like to leave you with. There's a movie called Trace Amounts that's really worthwhile to see. You can go online and look it up. Just traceamounts.com. But when the cure to the disease becomes a greater danger than the disease itself, then and you have no choice about avoiding being injected with that, with what could be to some people a very toxic substance. That is the point at which I think we need to rise up and say we've had enough, and we're not going to take this.
Well,
it's insane the levels and the procedure they put us through just to undo the damage that they have done to us and the limitations and restrictions they put on our freedom, when in fact the Constitution meant for the limits and the restrictions to be put and the shackles to be put on the government's power, not our power.
Right. Well, absolutely. This is what the founders warned us about. And I'm saying that everybody out there, regardless, you know, do what you can, sign the petitions, let's get this thing revoked. But at some point in time, if we don't revoke it, I'm saying you don't comply. And then enough people say, hey, enough's enough, we're not doing it, that's going to get their attention, because it's really the people that are rising up saying, we're not going to do it. Because if they have the power to do this, this is right out of Nazi Germany. They can do whatever they
want. Sound like a red-blooded American.
Well, thank you. Anyway.
Well, go to SB277referendum.com. Do what you can do. If you can't get signatures, send us a contribution. We'll get out there and get them for you. But this is going to affect everybody, and we don't have much time. We only have 45 days left to get this done. So I want to thank you guys for having me on today.
Well, we appreciate all your efforts, Mr. Donnelly. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Tim.
God bless you and Godspeed.
Have a great day.
And one of the things that I would like to mention is 4th of July, I was up at Lake Siskiyou with friends and family up there, and I ran into a gal that her daughter attends high school up there in Siskiyou County, and this lady was absolutely livid over this vaccine bill because she has a daughter who's entering her senior year of high school.
Okay.
She's up to date on all of her vaccinations except one, because when she was younger, she had the first in the series and had an allergic reaction to the vaccine, and it almost killed her.
Right.
And the doctors told her, under no way, shape, or form ever will you have, you know, another shot in the series of vaccines.
Or it's going to kill you.
Or it's going to kill you. And she's been informed by the school up there, she is not going to be allowed to attend her senior year of high school because she is missing that one booster shot, even though that they have documentation from the doctor that it's absolutely lethal to her, that it will kill her. This is a girl that has gone to school with the same kids in the same class her entire life and is not going to be allowed to graduate her senior class with the people that she grew up with, because the school is mandating that she has to have a shot that will kill her to attend school.
That's what we're dealing with. The whole thing's insane.
I'm not sure whether to practice my Chinese accent or my German accent here. It's like, you will comply now, and you will shut up and do what you're told?
Well, that's exactly what they're counting on, and under the premise that you may save a child from contracting a disease, and it's all hogwash. I'm sorry, but it's hogwash. It doesn't do that at all. All it does is poison the children or the people that's getting the vaccine.
Well, and I say WTF here. What's going on? What kind of agenda does Sacramento have when they care more about pushing this than they do about your children or your grandchildren living?
An absolute defiance of the will of the people.
And the Constitution.
That's the thing that gets me the most, is they have no fear of repercussions from the people. None. They will act in absolute defiance of the will of the people and have no fear of anything happening to them or their jobs.
And all of you people out there that are listening, you have to realize that when you're taking and you're controlling people and in a country, Okay, you either are uniting people on issues or you're dividing people on issues. This is right out of military strategy. This is an issue where it shouldn't matter whether you're a Tea Partier or you're from Occupy or you're from, you know, any kind of a group. If you can't come together on this one, you know, and stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder as Americans to stop an overreaching government that is taking your rights away and
killing you
and
at the
killing
same
your
time.
Children, when will you stand up?
And I have a question to them down there in Sacramento. How many of their kids are they vaccinating with the poison? Are they going to be opt out?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it just us servants and slaves?
Well, and it's not funny anymore. It's not cute anymore. This is all designed for the government to take over every aspect of your life. You know, we're in California. What the, you know, what happens in California, you know, typically goes across the nation.
Yep.
But at some point in time, if it's not this issue, when will you stand up? Because we're running out of ways to fight back if you keep giving them more and more and more power. And at some point,
and we're
in time,
running out of freedoms and liberties.
When you get to the gulag, is that when you're going to say, "Hey, enough's enough"?
Well, as long as you're respectful in your tongue.
Oh, yeah. I should be respectful when I get sold out down the road. I shouldn't worry about my food.
I should be respectful when I see my grandkids or other people die because they're being poisoned with a mandatory vaccine.
Yeah.
Or with food that doesn't get labeled from foreign countries because we have got somebody who doesn't like the fact that we know what's in our food.
Well, I'm sure the citizens of Germany during the early 40s were sure to be polite to their government, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what cracks me up. Hitler was a great guy, but in 1939, it wasn't until he started wiping everybody out that he became a bad guy.
Yeah. He was a savior to them to begin with.
Oh, yeah. He was going to improve the country. It was going to be a better job. Look at what's been going on in Washington and all the way down. And California, the leftist movement at the top in Sacramento, mirrors these Marxist principles. This is one of them.
And where did Hitler start in the education system?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people go, you can't compare him with Hitler. I mean, this will do. I mean, what do you think? Hitler started out saying, "Hey, I got a plan here. You know,
I'm going to put you on the train and gas you."
Yeah, we're gonna take everybody and put them on a train to the gas chamber. You know, what kind of support do you think he got? No, these guys don't come out and tell you they're tyrants. They just slowly, incrementally gain more and more power, and then once they have enough power and you can't fight back, then it's too late. So what do? Decide not to, you know, stop him, even if he's not Hitler. You're not going to let that much power get consolidated in some government agency that doesn't give a crap one about you or your kids or your family?
Well, I consider myself a reasonable person, so I'd be willing to compromise. You come over to your house, and I'll soak some dead baby and some mercury and some formaldehyde and some other things, and then you allow me to inject that into your body, and then you can criticize me about my tone. How's that? Is that a good deal?
I think that's reasonable.
That's a compromise.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I have a feeling they're not going to look at it that way.
Well, probably. I think everybody needs to go to the website, SB277referendum.com, and I think everybody who's an American and cares about their kids, their family, their future in the state of California should show up at the Tea Party on Monday night and sign the petition. I don't even care if you stay. Come in, sign the petition, and leave.
And if you think it's going to stop there with the vaccines, you're wrong.
No, it'll
they'll just keep going with it.
It'll branch out from California.
Yeah, we not just that, but they're going to find something else to do to us.
We're the crash test dummies.
Exactly. If you think that's the end of it, just vaccines and everything's going to be great, all the kids are going to be vaccinated and no more problem and all that, boy, are you wrong. We all know how the government just keeps going with it.
Oh, they've been doing a stellar job so far of handling all the problems. I mean, our economy's in great shape. We're recovering. Unemployment rate's down. You know, people's wages are going up.
And they always do exactly what they say, right?
The stock market is at all-time highs. everything's great out there, isn't it? You can look around and you can see all the industry and all the shops that are opening up and all the people that are employed and And they wouldn't lie to us about any of that, would they?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's why we're forced to defend our positions, is because theirs are so effective and so useful and beneficial to the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should probably go to a break after that, because I'm ready to throw something at the wall.
Yeah, if you want to call in and have a question or comment for us, or just talk with us, that would be great. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North City.
Prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Carl Lindabad. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Carol Ferguson, managing editor of the Record Searchlight. Let's find out the big stories that Carol's working on in the Record Searchlight. Where are they going with print media up here in the North State? We'll also talk about the debate last week and the impact it's had on politics in our area. All this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
Oh, did Leslie Gore sing that?
Why, when he was a young warthog. No. When I was a young warthog. Very nice. Thanks.
Hakuna Matata.
Found his aroma like a sight and appeal. He could clear the savannah after every meal. I'm a sensitive soul. Though I seem thick-skinned. And it hurt that my friends never stood downwind. Changing my name.
Oh, what's in a name?
When I got downhearted.
How did you feel?
Every time that I...
Hey, Homer, not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, that's what we just call up our guys. You know, we call up our representatives, our non-representatives, or those politicians. Those
people down there that are supposed to represent.
Yeah,
us.
The politics. You know, the many blood-sucking.
Yeah, the politics.
The politics. Yeah. And just call them up and say, hey, Hakuna Matata, It's all right. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you've got an R in front of your name.
Go sports team.
That's so awesome.
Just call us after you do the vote so we can...
We'll have to play that one time at some point, maybe in the next few weeks, the awesome one with the, what is that, Lego guys. And, you know, they walk up to the little Lego guy walks up to Starbucks, you know, and they say, that'll be $36 for a coffee. And he looks and kind of thinks for a second. He goes, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so awesome. It's like we're being trained, you know, it's like flea training, you know. You just...
Everything's better when you're part of a team.
Everything's better when you're part of a team. It doesn't really matter as long as you go along with the narrative. It's like flea training, you know. You know how you train fleas is you put the cap on the jar and they keep jumping up and hitting the top of the jar with their heads, and then pretty soon you just pull the cap off the jar, and they only jump just high enough to get to the top of the lid, and they never get out. Mm. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. So, wow. Let's see. Where are we at? What do we have?
That's all the action you're going to get, see? Until I get a new plan, we're laying low, see? Now shut up and let me read my paper.
Okay, I was on...
Hold it. I've got the plan.
You know, that's so funny. That's it. The lion is Itchy, and then the little rat is Biggie. You know, I mean, boy, you can't. That, you got, they gotta go.
Well, while you're trying to figure out where we're at or what we're going to do next, I just got a couple announcements again. I want to bring up for Missing in America Project. We're down there at Jersey Mike's. We've been out there all weekend, but we'll be there today and tomorrow. If you can give us a donation. And
they're
this
good sandwiches, too.
They're good sandwiches, and this helps us collect more money so we can go across the Sea to Shining Sea. We're taking 6 veterans back to bury them at Arlington. We leave in 2 weeks from today, and we go on our road trip. And then this Friday, the 14th, out at the cemetery at 11 a.m., they will be having ceremonies to mark the end of World War II.
So that's something you may want to go out. I'm not sure what all they got planned. I'm sure it's a good program out there. But, yeah, that'll be again at 11 a.m. on this Friday out at the cemetery.
70th anniversary.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's insane.
Wow. Well,
so
anything else we got?
Yeah.
Jersey Mike's, too, is probably the best, closest thing you can get to a really Philly cheesesteak sandwich in Reading, too.
And you know what? They have been wonderful. They've stepped up not just with Missing in America Project, but in the community, especially the veterans community. They have no problems in helping us do fundraisers. They supply the cards. I mean, they're awesome people down there. So, you know, help support them even in times when we're not doing fundraisers down there, because they are just great people.
And that's over there by Trader Joe's?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, come down and check it out.
Well, let's see. What else have we got? You know,
we could always talk about subsidizing illegal aliens' car insurance.
Well, there is that. I mean, yeah. I mean, go ahead. You got.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Don't get me started with DMV. You know my story.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my God. You go postal on DMV, you know.
Yeah, just another good government agency doing what they're supposed to.
Well, long story short, tried to go down, get a car title switched over to a California title. It was from out of state. The car, it got totaled. DMV will not waive the fee for the smog. They want you to get it smogged.
How do you smog a totaled vehicle?
That's a good question. They say there's no exemption for it. I can't get it registered. I had to pay them $105, but I can't get a title until next April. Then I can get a title.
I have an exemption for them. I keep it on my right hand.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you can't hear it, I'll turn it up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it was pretty amazing. It's like, how can I smog it? It's totaled. Well, I don't know, ma'am, but you have to figure it out, but you can't get a title.
Well, that's because you're running into complete automaton drones that are unable to think for themselves and get outside mm-hmm. of the bureaucracy.
Yeah, because otherwise they might make a decision that could be counterproductive to the board, and you know.
Yeah. And then I said to her, "So do I get my $105 back?" She says, "Oh no, ma'am, but the state's going to send you a buck." I said, "So not only did it cost me $105 for the registration that I can't get, the state's going to send me a buck, and how much does that cost me as a taxpayer?" Boy, that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I got a
couple. That's a great work going there.
Go ahead, Bob.
What's the deal? They won't give you your sticker until you get the thing smog?
They won't give me stickers. They won't give me a registration or a title of California until it is smogged.
But they will take and keep your registration fees.
Yes.
Hey, what's wrong with
that? It's obviously impossible to smog it if it's totaled.
Correct. It doesn't run. It's already been to the crushers in Sacramento. And that was after I had to hire somebody to certify the VIN number on the vehicle.
So it's already been crushed?
Yeah.
Well, then it should pass smog with flying colors. Zero emissions.
It has zero emissions. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's CARB compliant.
Yeah.
It was certified by Vinny. Okay.
So now I can't get a title or registration until April of 2016. Then they may give it to me.
But why would they register it in 2016, but they won't now? What circumstances change in 2016?
I don't know. Good question.
Yep, there you go.
So that's one of your government agencies at its finest.
Well, there you have it. In the meantime, Venezuela is experiencing food shortages and other necessities have led to looting and violence. President Maduro blames this on business and leaders of his political opposition. Oh, boy, that's a shocker. And it's generally recognized, however, that the causes are low oil prices, a dysfunctional currency that has been destroyed by inflation and price controls.
Nah.
Would that be the same Venezuelan government that Barack Obama early in his presidency during his first term referred to as a model government?
Well, it is the model that we're following. We just haven't quite got there yet. And, you know, but pretty soon we'll all be Greeks. I mean, that's going to be the new saying. I predict it down another year and a half or so. Hey, we're all Greeks. You know, I mean, just keep spending until you spend yourself into oblivion and nobody will lend you any more money, and you print money until the cows come home and the prices go through the roof like they did in Venezuela. And pretty soon you're shooting each other at the store because
you're hungry and your kids are hungry and there's nothing to eat because, but it's all because of business. Business did this and the other leaders of the other political parties, like, wow, God, that sounds so familiar. Where does that, I've heard that before.
Somewhere.
I'm not sure.
We'll come to you.
Yeah. Anyway, that's you know, in the future, I think. And we've got Gerald Celente predicting a world, and he doesn't do this too often. I mean, and he's been right pretty much every time he said this. Gerald Celente just predicted a global stock market crash and gave the exact time frame. He's saying before the end of the year, it's going to happen. Now, all of you people that doubt and, you know, don't want to hear this stuff and don't believe anything and everything's normal and we're in recovery out there, yeah, go get another big glass of Kool-Aid. Because
grape drink.
Is it grape? You like grape?
Grape drink.
Yeah. Oh, I like, you know, it's like grape bait.
Just go get your local mercury.
When it comes in a welfare packet, it's just a little white welfare packet that with black letters says grape drink.
Yeah, and then when it all crashes, we can blame it on the Republicans and Bush. I think that's a good start. And then business did this to us because those greedy. You know, it just cracks me up when we do this business. You know, we're attacking the business, but they never attack, you know, Fox News especially. They never attack Goldman's. If you say anything bad about Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citibank, any of these big, you know.
I have a massive question about a couple of these guys, specifically Oppenheimer Fund and Goldman Sachs, knowing that Puerto Rico was headed down the toilet. They substantially increased their holdings in Puerto Rican debt. I mean, they went from like $154 million to like $1.5 billion, and then that was Goldman Sachs. And then Oppenheimer invested almost $5 billion in Puerto Rican debt, knowing they were going to crash. Now, does somebody there have some insider information that there's a bailout coming?
Well, either that or they're shorting the they're shorting the bond somewhere else.
That would be illegal.
Well,
they wouldn't do that.
Or they're looking for a big loss to counterset something else. I don't know, but
one or the other. Because that's what fascinated me was when we picked up on that the Puerto Rico debt story.
They could be inept.
They were dumping money into Puerto Rico, knowing it was going to fall on its face.
I would say that they're probably shorting the market on the other side somewhere, and so they're expecting a big. But it does, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me because, you know, we'll have to figure that one out. Because why would you dump into to prop it up if it's going to short it on the other side? I don't know what's going on here. But I'll tell you what, Puerto Rico just defaulted on their bonds on Monday, and there's more to come. They've basically said there's no way they can make all their payments on any of their loans, and that's going to reverberate through the American markets. So I don't know.
Well, that's you look at California, and California has almost an identical economic structure and debt structuring to Greece and Puerto Rico. The only difference is that California bought itself a little bit of time by passing the capital gains laws. So all of these people that were selling their homes and everything to bail out of California, the more people bailed out of California, the more capital gains California was collecting to float themselves. So it was actually helping in the short term for California to push people out.
But not in the long term. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I mean, we went through that CalPERS stuff the other day. Talk about
the blended glide path.
Yeah, he loves that. It's like the blended glide. It's like a glider that's blending itself into the side of El Capitan. You know, you're going to blend yourself right into the granite. So
yeah,
it's not good. So everybody doesn't have to believe us, and we could be just Chicken Little. But guess what? You know, things are getting better out there, and it's Hakuna Matata. Hey, what the heck?
Well, I was just thinking they should just call it the Stealth Fund. Blended Glide Path.
The Stealth Fund. In the meantime, everybody's worried about the Republican debates. that don't matter anyway, and let's attack Fox News. And I'm just amazed that people are just waking up to Fox News. I was listening to that, and I'm just like, wow, you guys are just now getting the fact that Fox News could be in the tank against you know, anybody who doesn't go for the establishment candidate?
I thought that was clear the first time Bill O'Reilly spoke.
Well, there you have it. You know, I mean, so I don't know. Anyway, there's some new stuff on the horizon moving right along on Hillary's stuff. and on her private server, there is a criminal investigation that has been opened up, and so we're going to hear more about that. I think she could be in real trouble on her campaign. I don't think that this is going to pan out well for her. You got Tom Fenton and the Judicial Watch Group. They've been all over this stuff.
She's an evil, evil person.
Well, it's the Clintons have had their neck in the noose so many times and walked out of it.
For years.
Yeah.
Last Friday, U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan ordered the U.S. State Department to request that Hillary Clinton and her top aides confirm under penalty of perjury that they have produced all government records in their possession and return any other government records immediately and describe any of their Hillary Clinton email servers to conduct and describe their use of any Hillary Clinton email servers to conduct government business. And the court issued this order to the two aides. One's I can't think of the guy's name, Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin. And, gee, that doesn't sound like Iranian or nothing, does it?
No.
And so this could have real teeth. This has real teeth because he can detain them under penalty of perjury. He can put them in jail. I think that clearly we're stepping into another dimension here, basically, on the legal processes, on the emails for Lois Lerner and for the Hillary Clinton emails.
Well, let's hope these people don't go missing or commit suicide like some of the other people have.
Well, they have to kill the judge. They'd have to kill the judge here, but
I'm just saying, it's happened in the past that mysteriously they disappear, you don't hear from them, or they commit suicide, you know.
Maybe, but I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think what's going to happen is these guys are going to have to come in under penalty of perjury and either produce the documents or not, and if something comes up later on and they've already been deposed, and something comes up, then these guys are gonna get a sentence in the pokey for a little while.
Maybe she'll just flee to Iran.
Well, there is always that. You can always flee to another country. Kind of puts a damper on your political aspirations for president, but, maybe not. Well, look at what's going on up there now. But, of course, we could always go to snoops.com and verify all
everything
about our current president as being, a stellar guy, he's absolutely born in Hawaii, and we wouldn't want to bring anything and dredge any of that stuff up.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Please.
I mean, how much do you have to see before you start questioning everything? How much do you have to know and understand that hasn't been put into the mainstream media before you start realizing that you've been lied to across the board? Now, I don't want to sound like a tinfoil hat nut job talking about the birth certificate, but you have to think in the back of your mind that where's all the verification been coming? Why has he covered up all of his past records? Why has he spent a couple $1 million to keep it out of the limelight? Why did he seal off his school records? And I'm not saying that because I care about that particular item as much as I'm saying these guys have lied across the board about everything. Yeah. What are we going to find out here before this is over? And with the Clintons, with the Benghazi, what's going to come out before this?
You're going to run into people that will never ever open their eyes to the situation. They'll never admit the truth. You can put it right in front of their face, and they will still double down on their lies, on their deception, on their refusal to deal with reality. And to be perfectly honest, I'm to the point it's a complete and total waste of time and effort to even engage with those people, because all they're doing is distracting momentum and resources away from people that you could help.
Yeah,
well, and I love it when they say, well, it's the lesser of two evils.
Evil is evil.
I don't understand that comment. Lesser of two evils.
We should bring up that. We'll have to bring up that Eddie Murphy when he's a vampire in New York or whatever. He's up there doing his little speech on the balcony. He says, if it wasn't for evil, there'd be no good. Therefore, evil is good.
Yeah.
And then you got the guys out in the crowd going, yay!
Exactly.
So, with rhetoric and what they call sophistry, you can make an argument about anything seem plausible, but is evil really good?
No.
No. So that's kind of what we're talking about. And this whole, oh, hold your nose and vote for the other guy just because, oh, that's what the Democrats do. That's where they stay in power. No, the Democrats are in power with the establishment Republicans who haven't been doing anything to counteract what they do. So it's not really the Democrats in power that's the problem. It's the Republicans in conjunction with the Democrats in power that's the problem.
Yeah, and at least a third of the Republican Party, according to recent numbers, has woken up to that fact and is growing by the day.
Of course.
You know, the numbers out of Breitbart this morning are saying that there is a full third of the Republican Party that is ready to leave and look at forming a third party over exactly that reasoning. You know, according to the same poll numbers among Republicans, only 16% of Republicans support Boehner and McConnell as leadership.
So let's just keep voting for him.
That should tell you something.
Yeah, I mean, really, so I know, it's unbelievable. You know, and so we just keep voting for the R's and the D's, and we keep getting the same thing over
and over,
doses on one side and bigger doses on the other.
Don't hold them accountable. Don't question them.
Don't say nothing. I don't like that tone. You know something? I just don't like your tone.
Well. I got a tone for you. I'm just saying, you know.
In the meantime, we have a joint Israeli FBI operation that blows open the J.P. Morgan hacking scam. You had something to say, Bob?
I may have to use the tone that involves a seven-second delay.
You just might.
Oh, yeah. I got beeped once in 4 years. That's not bad.
No, that is an exemplary track record around this place.
Yeah, I thought I've done pretty well. Anyway, we've got two Israeli citizens among three people indicted in a New York court for their part in a complex security fraud plot, which included computer hacks of banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase and other financial institutions. Okay, the joint operation by the FBI and Israeli law enforcement agencies resulted in the arrest of four men in Israel and Florida over the scam, which was on such a grand scale that J.P. Morgan initially believed that the hacks were working for the Russian government. Now, don't you feel much safer having your money in the bank?
But let me get this right. They prosecute the hackers of the people that are the criminals, J.P. Morgan?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Two men in charge have been identified, blah, 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 who resided. The plot reportedly involved mass email campaigns, prearranged trading in what is known as a pump-and-dump scheme, where stocks are artificially inflated to value to be sold at a massive profit. Now, is there any difference between that and what the Fed's been doing with the
So there was insider trading with the hackers going on.
Zero interest rates, non-interest rates. But I guess if you do it outside the banking system.
Right. If you're not J.P. Morgan, then you're a criminal.
Well, if the banking system has taught us anything, is the one truth is make sure you steal enough to pay the fine and still see a profit.
Yeah. It's like
you
have
sure
a big enough
lie,
yeah.
You know, when I do business at my bank, I do it the right way. You know what I'm saying? You know, forget about it. Because, you know, when I steal big.
Steal from everybody.
I get everyone.
Not just one or two people.
I'm not prejudiced. I steal from everyone, you know?
I'm not racist. I take everybody's money.
I'll tell you, some of this stuff you can't make it up. You know, but, I mean, it's like that soup story. This left-wing guy is down there pissed because he hears the piano playing Dixie while he's choking out a black man. I mean, is that liberal logic or what? I mean, how crazy do we have to get before common sense starts to kick back in?
I think it's starting to.
You think?
I think there's a little bit of common sense and a little bit of, you know, people's... skepticism is returning, finally.
I hope so.
So, yeah. And people are starting to look around, and they've gone from the process of being awake to figuring out there's a problem, and now I think they're starting to identify the problem. I see a swing coming. I have a little bit of concern of how drastic that swing's going to be the other direction, because swing it one way or the other too far, it's bad either way.
Yeah, as long as I don't have to inject my grandchildren with monkey pus and baby parts, I'm, you know, I'm short of that, you know. I mean, it's just...
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Oh, that's
just... Oh, stop. You know, but, you know, the media has lost so much credibility. You know, just look at this, Cecil the Lion thing and this Planned Parenthood, okay? How can you possibly look at that Planned Parenthood? But they don't. You look at all the articles and you see what they do. They are still trying to control the narrative. They're still trying to control the media. They're still trying to control the information that's getting out there. And, of course, they say, oh, don't, you don't want to pay attention to that Internet. I mean, Bill O'Reilly, you know, oh, you don't want to pay attention to that Internet. You know, you might find, you actually might.
You don't want to pay attention to the truth.
Well, again, you know, sources are key as well as the information and vetting it. So at what point in time do you wake up and go, wow, why would I even listen to the news media at all except to hear their talking points so I know what they're saying? Because
go to the source.
Go to the source. That's what the Internet can do for you. And so this week the stocks took a dive. I mean, I think we're starting to see a little bit of a crash on the stock market here. I'm not completely sold yet, but I think we're going to see when this thing really starts to tumble, it's over. It's going to be 40-60% correction. Of course,
it's a gradual removal of the volatility wall upon the blended glide path.
You just can't let that go, can you?
It's my favorite now. I love it.
That's stock speak.
Okay.
You know, they got Fed speak. You got stock speak. I mean, it's like the Fed. Oh, we're going to raise rates. You know, they do. They've been going to raise rates for like 8 years now. We're going to raise the. I swear to God, we're going to raise the interest rate.
I really, 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 really mean it this time.
When they know if the interest rates go up, it's game over. Boom, everything crashes because it all just blows up.
Yeah.
So you know, these guys with their speak, their it's just crap, and you have to learn to filter this stuff. But you know, you the stocks in the mainstream media started taking a dive. Disney, you know, all these mainstream media stocks, because people are shutting off their TVs. They're going, you know, something. If I got to listen to propaganda, I'll pick which one I want. You know,
or they find out who they're supporting, like Planned Parenthood, and they go, "Hey, we got a problem here, Houston." Yeah.
Well, there is that, because.
That
you
would
know.
Be turbulence on the blended glide path. Pockets of turbulence.
So buckle up, Spanky. It's going to be a rough one. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we need the little ding, ding. Would you please return to your seats?
Yeah.
You're no longer free to move about the cabin because we're having a blended turbulence.
Before you smash into the mountainside.
Yeah. Hey, that's a great new drink down at Starbucks, a blended turbulence. That's a
blended turbulence.
A blended turbulence.
Here's your oxygen mask. It will keep you as calm as a Hindu cow as we arrive on the blended glide path.
Oh, boy. Well, we're down to a minute and another day in the show here. And, you know.
Don't forget to get out to the tea party tomorrow, like we said, if nothing else, to sign the vaccine.
Yes. Yeah. Come down.
If nothing else. Just
sign the petition on the vaccine. Because, you know, this is just over it's over the top. We got to get control of it.
Right.
These guys.
And we hope to see you at Jersey Mike's today and tomorrow.
Very good. Remember, amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio's Radio?
Radio.
Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State. And we'll see you all next week.
We the people next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
In news, I'm Gordon Griffith. The U.S. military says six U.S. F-16 fighter jets have arrived at Turkey's Incirlik Air Base to join the fight against Islamic State terrorists. After months of reluctance, Turkey agreed last month to allow the U.S. to use the base, which is close to Islamic State strongholds across the border in Syria. Turkey's foreign minister said last week that an extensive fight against the terrorists would soon begin. North Carolina authorities say police responding to a call about a man killing his neighbor were confronted by an armed man on a street corner who shot at officers. Police say that the officers fired back, killing the gunman. Two officers and a bystander were wounded in last night's incident in Gaston County, but all are expected to survive. A gruesome scene where five children and three adults have been found dead inside a southeast Houston area home. Harris County Sheriff's Deputy Thomas Gilliland.
Upon entering the home and clearing it for any other subjects, and then to check for the welfare of any other people inside the house,